Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Blue Apron. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone because Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, they are bringing you the freshest ingredients to cook in your very own home. The beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free-ranged and Mark the Chicken improved. Because not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you. So it's important to know where your food comes from. I love when we've gotten Blue Apron in the past. It's always a treat to know that that is the answer to the question when Nicole tells me what is going on, because I know that Blue Apron has sent her a recipe and all of the ingredients that are needed for that, and it's always something new and fun because Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, and they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. And for just $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And if you want to look like an Adonis, those portions are very important to be watching. Additionally, you'll love the variety of Blue Apron with a flexible meal schedule that you can pick out exactly what you want. And they all come with easy step-by-step instructions. So check out this week's menu and get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a special podcast because I have a guest for you guys here in the studio with me. Very excited to bring you that he is first, you read him on robhasawebsite.com, and then you got to see him in Survivor Korong. Here he is, the mayor of Ponderosa, Nick Majorano.
Woo, that's me, everybody.
Yeah. I know Neil got voted out, or Neil was there before you, but you technically got there before him, and I feel like that. I feel like that's a good nickname for you, the mayor. Did you get that?
Yeah, Mayor Majorano or Mayor Majorano. Yes, it's perfect.
The mayor is here. Not John Mayer.
No, definitely not John Mayer.
He's basic.
He's definitely basic. Those love songs, that's not my cup of tea, so he can have that.
All right. Well, very happy to have you here in the studio. That we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, that you were going to come up here one day and do this, and we'll talk about Korong and the jury and anything else, and your whole experience from going through somebody who was writing about the show, who wanted to be on the show, ultimately getting on the show, and what that whole journey was like. But first off, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited to be here in the studio. I didn't think, as a blogger for Rob Has a Website, that I'd be here one day.
Yeah, that you and I, that I've told this origin story on the podcast, started talking back in about 2.5 years ago, back right in between Blood Versus Water and Kagyan. Yeah. And you had reached out to, and I don't even remember what it was. We were talking about, like, you had, like, wanted to redesign part of the website.
Yeah, like, I remember, like,
is that even something that you do?
Well, yeah, I had been in website development, but as a product manager. And so I wanted to help be a part of the process because I saw you doing big things. And it just so happened that you didn't need any help at that point.
Because I feel like you're one of these people where it's like you had like 10 jobs on the yeah. show. You're a life coach,
that's
and a personal trainer.
Me.
Right. That's why. That's
she fell in love. She saw the potential.
But, yeah, but you know about websites?
Well, yeah, I stumbled into websites and then that's how I reached out to you. But then, yeah, I was doing mainly personal training at the time. And then now I do mentoring with male teenagers.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's a fascinating gig.
How'd you get into that?
Again, I stumbled into it for the most part about a year or two ago, and I started with one person, and it's bumped up to a few now, and so I mentor male teenagers who need some help, whether it's at home or in school, or they're having issues, or just good kids who just need another male role model in their life.
Okay. What's your average day like? Real quick, just take us through.
So average day like is working out in the morning, early morning, and then I'll have...
How early?
Well, like 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m.
That's not really...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then sometimes I'll have clients in the morning, and then I don't have clients until the afternoon with when they get out of school or when people get out of work.
Okay.
And then I work a lot on the weekends, though. That's the time where I meet with male teenagers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Yes. Okay. And then from there, where are you going with all this stuff? What's the dream?
It seems like I'm going to be able to snowball this as I'm meeting with some organization here in Los Angeles coming up, a positive coaching company, an organization that's not for profit. And it seems like we're going to make a partnership or see something work. So we might be able to bring both client bases together, and I'll see where that goes. That's what I'm doing right now, at least.
Okay. And then what's your history with the show? Because I feel like that I never really talked about that with you going into, you know, you talked about how you were listening to the podcast and you wanted to potentially write a blog. But I don't know if we ever really got into your background with the show. Were you watching it the whole way through, or did you get into it at a certain point?
No, so I had never even seen the show. I mean, I knew about it. I'd seen maybe a few episodes here and there growing up, but not until I applied did I start watching all the seasons.
And at what point was that?
So I applied in 2011, and that was when South Pacific was on the air, and I applied randomly, and I sent in, this is no joke, I sent in a 4-second video of me waving at the camera. And I filled out the application online.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, there's no way this is going to happen. There's no way I'm going to get this, get to be on the show. Because I just wanted to win $1 million. And I was looking for, actually, the whole story is I was looking for a website job on CBS.com and I got sidetracked. And I was like, yeah, why not win $1 million instead of going to work for CBS, right? And sure enough, the casting director, Lynn Spillman, emailed me back after that 4-second video. And she was like joking. She was like, you need to speak. It's a TV show. And then sure enough, it started from there.
So around South Pacific, then you sent in this 4-second video and you get a call from Lynn. And then all of a sudden you just like, okay, I'm just going to start watching this show. To the point where 5 seasons later, you want to write blogs about it?
Yeah, so it's just she had emailed me and I made a new video and then I was in the process. They didn't have me in there in the fall in 2011. I came into casting for 2012, but I had wound up watching all the seasons in reverse order, reverse chronological order for the most part.
The de-evolution of strategy.
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was really good. Just to see how Jeff changes and he goes back and then the game
as well.
He
gets younger.
Well, yeah, obviously he gets younger, but just the way he gets more quiet.
The Benjamin Button version.
Yeah, it was a fascinating way to watch it. And so eventually I had seen
so
every season.
How my arc was better then, right?
Technically, yes.
It's like this guy that, what an idiot. Why did they bring him back? And it's like, oh yeah, second time around. Like he like knows what he's doing. Yeah. He got better. I was like Kelly Wentworth of the reverse order of Survivor.
That's true. Now, yeah, you should say everybody should watch it that way. That's the only way to watch it now.
I'm on board.
So then I went through casting. I'd seen every show and I was obsessed about it in a sense because I thought I could get on. And sure enough, I didn't at that point.
Well, you know, in hindsight, though, I feel like that this is really ballsy that what business you have writing a blog that you just came in like some Johnny come lately. And it's like, oh, I'm the expert on this now.
Yeah. How dare I? But that's perfect for my attitude, the ego that's involved in that, the audacity.
Yeah. And you were still going through casting at the time you wanted to write a blog, or you sort of felt like that you were that door was closed at the time? Because it feels like a weird move to be trying to get on the show, but also be blogging. Like I do feel like that there are some people that feel like, oh, if I write a blog on the show, that's going to help me get on the show. I mean, I find it to be the opposite.
Yeah,
that's
you're
more
right.
of a turn off for casting to be like actively in the community about it.
Right. Well, I didn't tell them about it. But yeah, so when I went through in 2012 for 25 and 26, I got cut both times. I made it all the way for 26, but I didn't get selected. And then for 27 was obviously Blood versus Water. 28 was Kageyama. I didn't get contacted for that, but I kept in touch with Lynn Spillman.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't need me. And then, yeah, and so then that's when I reached out to you because I was annoyed. I was really pissed off.
That'll show them.
Yeah. I was like, if I can't be on the show and I put all this effort into watching all these seasons, I might as well vent and write about it.
If I recall, and I didn't know, I don't think
no,
at the
didn't.
Time that you had been in the mix,
no.
but I do feel like that one of your pitches was that like, oh, I want to like talk about like what casting is looking for and sort of like talk about like who they think they're going to be and something like that. That was like part of your angle on it.
Right. Yeah. I had a little insight, but I didn't want to share the whole thing. And then so yeah, I started writing for Kageyan. And then I stayed in the mix again, but it didn't work out until 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then it was another Blood versus Water in 29.
Yeah, and actually I was asked to do that and apply for that, but I had been against it from the beginning. And like my dad and I made a video, but I didn't send it in because, you know, I didn't want anybody to get involved. I'm not a big fan of the blood versus water seasons to begin with to play in. Like I had emailed Lynn Spillman. I said, if I'm doing this, I'm telling my dad to quit or get voted out first. like that's the best strategy as far as I'm concerned with your partner. Just get them knocked out. Because it worked for Tyson and then it even worked for Natalie.
Yeah.
And that's what I said early on. So yeah, I didn't want to do that. And I wouldn't have been selected anyway. We weren't the right fit for that season.
Yeah. That's an interesting call to have like the disposable blood versus water partner.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Get rid of it. See you later, dad. Enjoy the vacation, man.
Right.
And I wasn't, she didn't ask me about season 30 Worlds Apart. So like, you know, I felt like snubbed because I thought I did well in season 26 casting, but so it's perturbed.
So then you get back into the mix for 31 as you are under the impression it's 31. It ultimately becomes 32. Is that, do they reach out to you or you reach back out to them?
Well, I think what happened was actually, obviously I'd stopped writing because I was like, screw it. I'm going to stop writing. It was fun to do, but I want to get on the show and I can't be writing as I'm trying to get on the show. And so Lynn Spillman, I think she reached out to me about Tar. About the Amazing Race and doing the blind date season.
So she
sent me this email like, hey, like, are you dating anybody? And of course not, I'm single. But and I said, no, I'm not. And she's like, oh, okay.
So
then
Lynn
it's not
takes
work
a liking
out.
To you.
Yeah, well, yeah, Lynn and I get along. She's from the East Coast. I'm sarcastic. She's sarcastic.
Yeah.
And so, and I was always friendly. Like, that's what I always want to tell people. If you get into casting, don't annoy them. And like, I never annoy them. I sent one email a year like, hey, do you need me? And you know, send something funny. So yeah, she took a liking to see if I was needed, but didn't take a liking enough to put me on the seasons.
Right.
So not enough. So anyway, I told her no. So that didn't work out. But I said, hey, I don't want to do the Amazing Race. I want to do Survivor still. And then that's when she replied, fine, we'll give it one more shot. And I was like, all right, this is it, baby.
This is it.
And then I do this whole audition video that was somewhat different than how I portrayed myself the first time.
Yeah.
It was over the top. It was super arrogant. And I have that side to me, but I went balls to the wall with it. And she loved it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I went into casting. And I went there in the spring. So I wasn't with the fall group. I was like the later group. And eventually they said, yeah, let's do this.
Okay. So they get you into the brains versus beauty versus bronze season. That sort of plays into this image that you're projecting. Now, I think that part of the reason I think that it was hard for some of the viewers to sort of get you, and I think that there are definitely people that like on social media who feel like they got you and other people who feel like they got you more when you got to Ponderosa and other people who just did not get you at all, or did not connect with you. How much of what you were doing when you were going out there is like, okay, I need to project this image on the island and in my interviews, and how much of it was not an image?
That's a good question. Well, around 27 or 28, I realized something, at least so I think, that was key into my mistake of not getting on the show and like just personalities in general on TV. I've been flipping through the channels and I've been like seeing Nancy Grace on TV. I've been seeing like Chris Matthews, Hardball, and like all these other financial pundits. And I was like, oh my God, it pays to have an opinion. Like these guys are hopefully not like this. Like Nancy Grace is hopefully not like this in real life, but it's a part of her personality and she plays it up.
Right.
So that's how I went into it in casting in my audition video. And that's how I did it on the show too. And it's not that it was an act. You know, I saw a bunch of that stuff like, oh, he's acting. He's a terrible actor. No, if you saw me acting, like I'm worse than that. Like I'm awful. So I'm not an actor, but
yeah,
I was just playing it up a little bit. And the thing is too, I'm the type of person where I say one thing in confessional, but I also wind up saying the opposite thing. And I'll be able to give examples of that down the road. But yeah, it's a part of who I am. I just know when to play it up and when not to.
Because I think that it's that attitude, it can be hit or miss. Because I feel like that there are people, like one of my personal favorites, like Will Kirby from the Big Brother 2. I feel like that he did that and people loved when he did it.
Right.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where it can be very results oriented.
Oh,
where if you do the same thing and you win the season, like people are like, you know, you're a god. If you do that kind of stuff and then you don't win, then people say, you know, like, oh, he was just arrogant.
Well, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because that's pretty much how I thought about it, because I'm the type of person, my personality is, I'm going to gamble. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to go for broke.
Right.
And what my thought process is, and it still is to this day, if I win, I look like the genius. If I lose, I look like the idiot. And I'm okay with that because I know the reward is winning and looking like the genius. Because, yeah, it matters about your placement and it's okay. And I'm a big person of, big believer of, it's okay to fail. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to make a fool of yourself as long as, you know, you're okay after the fact. And that, and I know that sounds, what's the word? It's a little fake or a little phony maybe.
Yeah.
Because you're playing it up, but I think it's good for TV. I think it's good for me.
And the hard thing about when you're out there is that you can't really focus group it. It's, can't go on Twitter in the real time and see like, how's this being received? Oh, people aren't. All right. Let me tone it down a little bit. Let me scale this. Let me roll this back. Where, you know, you're just like, you're doing something and you got to just, you know, commit for 39 days.
Right. And it's, again, though, it's not a character. It's just, you need context to it as a viewer. And
it's
like
an amplified part of your existing personality.
Yeah. And like, obviously I don't show that in real life. I show it with friends. I show it with people I'm comfortable with. But like, I'm the type of person too, where if you say I'm unattractive in a joking way or in a serious way, I'll say the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, no, I'm the best looking person in the room. But if you say, this is a perfect example with Debbie, like she was totally all over me in her words, saying I'm a god and stuff like that. But I would go back into confession. I'll be like, has she ever been out of Pennsylvania? I'm a two in New York. I'm a two in Los Angeles.
Right.
And like, obviously they're not going to show that. And like, that's not me being upset about them not showing it. It's just, I'm always going to go the opposite.
And I think that's probably hard to portray.
You can't show that.
Yeah, you can't, you're going to confuse the audience to show two different sides of the personality that are completely opposite from one another. Okay, so you find out you're going to go and be on the Survivor, Ko-Rong, ultimately Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn. What sort of stuff do you do to get set?
Well, what I had done was this whole time, because I figured I was getting, or I was hoping I was getting on, I think for the 8 weeks maybe leading up to the show, and I only knew 4 weeks ahead of time, the definite answer, but I was like not eating as much. I was not eating any carbs for the most part. So I definitely shrunk my stomach working
out. Is that the move? Because I had a survivor recently, not somebody who's playing in a future season, but a survivor who late at night was like texting me what is the answer to this question? Should you eat more or should you eat less before you go on Survivor?
Obviously, I don't know the alternative because I didn't get to test it. Maybe I'll test that another time if I get to go out again. But it worked for me in the sense that I was never hungry.
You tried to shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just would never had a craving for anything, but that also might be my personality because I'm a picky eater. So I don't really need a lot of food I don't need to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a personality trait thing.
And you were fine when you got out there?
Yeah, I was fine when I got out there. I was lightheaded because I wasn't getting enough calories, but I don't think it had anything to do with me shrinking my stomach. Yeah. But again, though, I don't think you're that hungry when you're out there to begin with because you're stressed out. You're focused on other things. You're focused on building shelter. So you're not even thinking about eating. So I think that factored into it as well without my preparation necessary. But going back, maybe I need a little bit more fat on me, which I did have some fat. Because my muscle just deteriorated. Like in that first challenge with that boat, I was like, oh my God, I'm dead. I can't do this.
As somebody who for years had been trying to get on the show and then you ultimately get out there, you meet Jeff in the casting. Do you have any fun stories about first interaction with Jeff?
Well, the first interaction I had with Jeff was back in 25 and 26, season 25, 26. I had met him there.
Because if I had to guess, I feel like with what you're putting out there, I feel like that his response is like, you know, you're not that great. You know, he's going to try to take you down.
Yeah, well, the first time for 25, when Eddie Fox and I got sent home like on a Wednesday, midday through, because Mark Burnett, because I think, I don't have any confirmation on this, I think we were the alternatives to Pete, because I don't think they were sold on Pete.
Pete Bro,
he's a New Jersey guy, he's got dark hair, and Eddie and I look similar to that. So we were the only guys that were the possibilities in the second casting for that position, I think. And so we got cut, but like I had been talking about religion and stuff like that, and Burnett is obviously pretty religious. And afterwards, Lynn was like, ooh, I should have told you that he's really religious. Cause like, I was not coming off well at all.
Right.
But then eventually when I saw Jeff for season 26, yeah, it was funny. Cause like Hope Driscoll was in that. Mm-hmm. So like gorgeous Hope. And of course I was talking her up in the casting and I was like, oh yeah. And then there's the gorgeous girl. Oh, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. And then once I finished that whole spiel on Hope, he was like, you know what you just said? Like, so it was this funny thing where he didn't know if I knew what I was saying at all. Mm-hmm. He was like, this guy's either delusional or he's the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually for 32, he was great with me. He really, I would say, even helped me out in a sense.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like that the situation where that you're describing, where they're walking away unsure of if mm-hmm. if you're being intentional or not, I feel like that is probably a bad thing. I think that they need to be in the room. Like, they know exactly who this person is. Like, they don't want to take that gamble.
Right. And it even lends itself to the audience this season with me. It's like, oh, that's confusing. I don't know which one it is. And even if you're right or wrong, like, you still might not know. But like Jeff back in 26, he said some big comment was like, so you're the guy who wants the ball with 10 seconds left. And I was like, yes, you got
against
me.
Scott Pollard.
Yeah. Well, and then lose. Yeah. But he had remembered that he said that when I went to season 32 casting. Yeah. And I was like, oh, good. Like, he remembers me. He's looking out for me if he wants me out in the season. So that was really nice.
Okay. So then you finally end up out there. You find out it's going to be brains versus beauty versus brawn. You're on the beauty tribe. You feel like this is a good spot for you?
Yeah, I loved it. When he told us on that marooning boat, on that huge boat, first of all, I rolled my eyes and he caught me. He was like, no, we have to put you on these guys' tribes. But I was stoked about it. I was happy about it. But looking back, I think it wound up making me overplay it and over-strategize, because I'm the type of person, again,
Why?
To go the... Well, I'm the, that's my personality trait, to go the opposite of the situation I'm in. So like, if I was on the brains tribe, I would have hated that I was on the brains tribe initially, but I would have been super quiet or like hiding myself even more so. And I overplayed on beauty, which was terrible. Like, I played so bad on beauty, it's not even funny.
Okay, well, it should have been a good setup for you, I feel like.
It should have been wonderful.
That, you know, we had like
perfect.
LJ, who was sort of the person who kind of knew the game, who was on the beauty tribe the first time around. A lot of people had him as a winner pick midway through the game. Mm-hmm. Like it could have been a good set up for you, but you end up with this group of people, obviously the three women, mm-hmm. Ty and Beast Mode Cowboy. Now today I was watching the Big Brother previews for Big Brother 18, and you obviously are aware of the Big Brother casting from that. You knew that was going on, so you knew Beast Mode Cowboy, you knew who Caleb was.
Yeah. And well, let me just say this too, it was the perfect setup for me. And that's how bad I played. It was the perfect setup, and that's how awful I was.
Yeah.
But Caleb, yeah, I knew him from Big Brother because I had watched that season like half on, half off, just because it's, you know, it's a lot of shows, but I'd watched it mainly through the subreddit online,
yeah,
like watching the videos back. So I'd known who he was, and like that was a big topic at first because Julia had an idea of who he was, but I definitely knew what he was all about. And then he didn't share that with anybody initially.
But was that a turnoff for you, or was it a saying, like, oh, let me work with this guy because he was loyal to people on his season?
No, it was a good thing because, again, I had a lot of information on him and he didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I viewed it. But that probably, again, hurt me kind of in the way that knowing stuff about Michelle and with her audition video hurt me too. Because, again, I was too confident with that information.
So you felt like that you were in the catbird seat because you knew more about them than they knew about you.
Yes, yes. And I took that for granted, and I probably even misperceived some things and didn't adjust from it.
You get to the beach and like, or I guess you guys are in the boat together. Mm-hmm. What sort of like the initial like meeting of everybody? Is it a good vibe?
It's a good vibe, but it's funny. In that huge boat, Jeff had asked us before we went to go run upstairs to get all the stuff. He had said, because like we're all the way in the front of the boat and you have to go up to the ladder in the back of the boat. And he had said like, hey, does anybody want to stack the ladder? So like with the people, the players. And we all looked at each other on the beauty and nobody was speaking up. And like, I was like, nah, you know what, Jeff, we're good. And like some people on the beauty tribe were a little annoyed by that because they wanted it to be fair. But like, I didn't want to start off the game on the wrong foot with the other tribes. So that was fascinating. So like, we did have that, but nobody thought about
it. What do you mean
it.
Stack the ladder?
Well, because like we had to run up to this ladder and there's multiple ladders in the back of the boat and we were in the front of the boat, the beauty tribe, and as was Brawn. So Brains was closer to the ladders, so they technically had an unfair advantage to get up to the platform on top of the boat where all the supplies were. So Jeff had asked us fairly. So that was like a quick introduction to your beauty tribe in a silent way, like who's going to step up to say something, who wants it to be fair, who's thinking about the other tribes and what they're going to think, like, oh, they're complaining already. They want to stack the ladder. So that was just like the first interaction that we had as a group.
Okay. So you guys get to the beach and then who are you getting a good vibe from in terms of the people that are there?
Well, initially, obviously, I'd seen Michelle's videotape or audition videotape. So, like, I was locked into Michelle.
So, okay, talk about this. So, what were you doing? You, before you went on Survivor, you were just on YouTube watching everybody's Survivor tape because you had been in the applicant process for so many years. You basically have, like, a catalog of anybody who's got a Survivor tape out there?
Not a catalog, but definitely I watched them, and I enjoyed watching them in a sense because it's like, oh, let's see if they could get on or not. And, yeah, so I'd seen hers on YouTube.
But are you watching them to say who's doing a good job, how can I improve, or you're watching, say, these are the people I'm going to play there with?
Yeah, I'm watching just in case they're going to be on my island with me. I know that, and they, like I said, that's obsessive compulsive. That's messed up. That's not healthy. Anyway, so yeah, I had seen it on YouTube, and then it got eventually posted to the forums, and I was annoyed when it got posted to the forums. I was like, oh, other people are going to see this. Nobody's digging deep into the YouTube archives of audition videos. So sure enough,
what forums? Reddit?
Sucks, I believe. Okay. It was on. So yeah, and I think that's where Neil wound up seeing it.
Okay.
Before he went out.
Okay.
So I misread her video, or I did read her video correctly, and then she wasn't that way. And I should have known better. Like, nobody's really liked their audition video for the most part.
Okay. So you saw her, you remembered this video because you've seen it, and you feel like, okay, now I'm going to work with this person because I have this, this unlevel playing field of, I know everything about her because I watched 2 minutes of a YouTube video. She knows nothing about me.
Yeah. What a ridiculous thought process. I mean, come on. You can't get much dumber than that. But yes, that is how I was feeling. And because though, in her video, I felt like she was a partner in crime. Like, I felt like, oh, this is who my teammate will be in going about the strategies of the game. Because that, I do believe, if I can remember correctly, that is how she came across.
But it's amazing that you are able to remember the details of the video, because you must have seen a bunch of them. And I could just tell you from watching Big Brother videos with Big Jeff, like, I watched these videos and then, like, there's a couple things I remember, but I couldn't sometimes remember almost nothing about what I just watched.
Well, too much to...
I don't have notes in front of me.
Well, much to Michelle's credit, she popped in the video.
Yeah.
Like, she came across. I was like, the first time I even saw it on YouTube, I was like, oh, this girl has a damn good chance of getting on the show. And then it got posted so much to Sucks that, like, I kept seeing it over and over again. But so, yeah, so in that case, it was kind of easy to remember, but she did well in it.
So you go up to Michelle first and you approach her, and what's not, hey, I saw your video.
No, I did not tell her at all. Never. No. And I didn't tell Caleb that I knew about him until whatever it had to come up. But yeah, so I just approached Michelle nicely and friendly and whatever. But then eventually the guys kind of split up doing the woodwork or the shelter work, and then the girls did the palm fronds. But it became very quick that Anna and Julia paired up.
Yes.
Like, almost instantaneously once we got to the beach. And I was like, okay, this is good. I'm with Michelle. We'll be able to do this and figure this out.
Yeah.
And then eventually Julia comes up to me, or Anna comes up to me, or both of them do, and say that they want Michelle out first.
Yeah.
Like, this is like day one or day two. I'm like, oh man, darn it. This is my girl, Michelle. I know everything about her.
Yeah, this is very fun for me because I feel like that this is the third different time I'm hearing a version of this story. I like the different perspectives on the same.
Call me out on stuff if it's wrong or if it's incorrect.
I will. I'm looking for the discrepancies to jump in and talk about them. But it is fun to get like, no, it wasn't like that at all. I was the person doing this. Okay, so in the two other versions of the early days of the Beauty Tribe that I heard, that you and Michelle very quickly were like an alliance.
That's true. I mean, I know Anna said like she saw some handshake between Ty and Michelle and I guess so. I can't remember, but I'll say that's true.
Yeah.
But there are so many issues with Ty and Michelle and Julia. Ty and I would go off into the jungle, maybe when we were looking for idols, but Ty would like vent to me and say like, I can't connect with Michelle and Julia. They're just too young. I can't have conversations with them. And so he only connected with Anna on a depth level and like on an intelligence level. And that's not to say that, you know, the other girls are just weren't on Ty's intelligence level, but there's just a little bit more to Ty than talking like about Chipotle or something like that. And that's not like a slam or anything, but Ty couldn't.
He hates Chipotle.
No, yeah, he doesn't like Chipotle. That's meat, chicken. No.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want to phrase it like that. He just couldn't connect with them.
Okay. That's all. So you had basically the conversation with Michelle and you felt like they were going good.
Oh yeah, I felt like they were going real good. But here's the thing though. I know how I started so poorly with her, because as soon as Julia and Anna had voiced that they wanted Michelle out first, I had gone up to Michelle And I said, Michelle, they want you out. And I shouldn't have done that. Like, imagine being Michelle in that situation, this young 25-year-old girl with a head on her shoulders and this dreamy guy who she loves. Right? No, I'm just kidding. But she has this guy who doesn't know diddly squat, or she doesn't think I know diddly squat about her, and she doesn't know anything about me. And I come up to her and I say, you're being voted out first. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Are you crazy? Are you stupid? And so, of course, she's going to view that in like a scared point of view.
And then did you distance yourself from her because...
No. Okay. No, I said to her, I said, okay, don't worry about it. I'm here to protect you. We're going to figure this out. But again, imagine hearing that from a guy that you don't know. Who's this guy to tell me he's going to protect me? Who's this guy to tell me that don't even play anything?
I don't need to be carried, bro.
Oh my God. She did need to be carried. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, like, who am I to say that to somebody that I don't even know? And I'm coming from the mindset of, I know who Michelle is. And like, I think I have a base with her, when that's not even the case from her point of view.
Yeah.
And that's, it's terrible. Oh, terrible gameplay.
What day is this that all this is starting?
It had to have been day one or day two, because it happened quick.
So on day one, word is floating around that Michelle is going to get voted out by the girls?
Well, the girls wanted her out because they... Oh, because like Anna did have this weird reason, like because she was the other brunette girl or something like that. They didn't tell me that. But they just wanted her out because they paired up. And Michelle is... You saw this in the game, actually. She tends to be a little passive, especially socially and strategically. And so it takes her some time. And so she just wound up being the one person who it took too much time to get into the group.
Okay.
And yet I was the one who was trying to be that connecting piece for her. And I came across awful to her. Terrible.
And so then coming out of that, how does, because I feel like that the story that I've sort of gotten is, okay, and then Michelle is going to eventually migrate to the women, and then that's going to be a thing. But I feel like that I never got the part of the story. Like, what are you doing from that point through Caleb's medevac?
Yeah. So I'm over strategizing and overplaying.
Yeah.
I'm playing the Jeff Varner style in Second Chance. Yeah. It was terrible.
To the point where
I'm glad
then
they didn't show it.
It's starting to be like where, when we talk to people about, I believe like in the exit interviews, like who would have gotten voted out if the Beauty Tribe went to Tribal Council, that the name I heard was you.
Yeah, and it sounds like that might not be too accurate, because I think Michelle said Ty, and Julia has told me Ty, but who knows with the whole idol thing. But based on what I know and what I was even told out there, after Kayla was medevaced, we're jumping ahead, but she had came up to me and like kind of like in a nasty way, but not. I didn't take offense to it, but she's like, okay, the girls decided to keep you. And I was like,
who said this? Michelle?
Anna did.
Anna.
And so she was overruled. And so supposedly, and that's a story that I got outside the game as well from Julia and Michelle, that they had decided they wanted. And that makes sense, because Julia and Michelle couldn't connect with Ty.
Okay, so they,
vice versa.
Michelle and Julia wanted to vote against Ty, and then Anna was outnumbered, and then it would have been Ty, but he had the idol, so would it have been a blindside, or who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I could have just wound up being the, you know, odd man out no matter what. I mean, I was definitely the second person to go on that tribe once Caleb left. But like up to that point, too, was fascinating, because I had dug myself a hole with Caleb as well. Caleb had grabbed from the sneaker box, or this where our sneakers were, immediately on day one or day two, whatever it was, and he took his name tag out of there. And I thought he was getting a clue to the idol. And sure enough, like, I go tell Julia or whoever it was, like, hey, I think Caleb's got an immunity clue idol or a clue. And sure enough, that backfired, because like they eventually told Caleb, and then Caleb found out. So it was a whole mess. It was it was complete terrible gameplay on my part.
Was Caleb talking to you at all about Big Brother 16, or he didn't bring it up?
Yeah, well, we brought it up a lot for him to like have a conversation about it. And like he would talk about his now wife, Ashley, a lot. But he wouldn't talk a lot to anybody, and he wouldn't sleep in the shelter with us in the few days. And it made sense because of the whole issue on his first season on Big Brother with the Amber issue, I think.
Oh, so he was concerned.
It was a touchy subject.
Right, that he didn't want to be seen as if he's sleeping in the shelter with the women.
Right.
So, it wasn't like, oh, this is like I'm back stuck in a house.
No, yeah. So that was another fascinating dynamic, because he wasn't in the group technically. He distanced himself so much. And that's why you don't see him coming into the strategy portion until later.
Hmm. Okay. That's very interesting in terms of how that started to play out. Anything else? What about Ty with the idol? We saw in the episodes where, you know, you guys see him, he's looking for the idol. Did you feel like he had the idol at that point?
I had no idea, but we had known that he'd just been looking the most and we had to assume that he had it. I didn't know. But the big thing was the whole story was sped up in a sense, and they should have done this. The producers were correct in doing this. Like, Michelle wasn't with the girls within the first 3 days. She wasn't doing that until day four. And Ty wasn't really in trouble on the beauty tribe until, you know, day four, day five, day six, when he was being sneaky with the idol. So that just got sped up. But there was a big thing with, Anna brought this up in her podcast, between myself, Anna, Ty, and Michelle. I had tried to push that to Ty, and sure, because I didn't want Julie. I wanted Julie out first. That's a big debate. Like, I think Anna thinks I wanted her out first. No, I wanted Julie out first because she was the connecting piece between potentially Michelle and then Anna.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get her out even if we had lost, I don't think. I think Michelle would have went out home first.
Let's go to the medevac for when Caleb goes out of the game, because I almost feel like strategically after Caleb goes out, I feel like that is good news for, not obviously not that you are rooting for that to happen, but you take him out and I feel like that you become a very important linchpin in that group. Did you look at it the same way after Caleb was gone?
On the beauty tribe?
That you became more important to that group?
I became physically more important, and I definitely did establish a better relationship with Julie and Michelle after I over-strategized than Ty did. I was definitely better on, but I mean, it really wasn't that much of a difference between Ty and I, since he was being sneaky and I was over-strategizing. But no, I was really bummed that Caleb left, because we had been talking about that whole time between Caleb and Ty and I. We were saying, hey, we're going to go to Rocks. Michelle actually brought this up on the podcast too. And she said that I wouldn't have gone to Rocks. I 100% would have gone to Rocks,
mm-hmm.
because I was in that position where I couldn't lose Caleb and I couldn't lose Ty. But I'll say this, I don't know what Caleb and Ty would have done. I suspect they would have flipped.
I mean, just looking at Ty's track record, yeah, the rest of the season, I feel like that, okay, Ty, you're going to go for Rocks.
Yes.
But I was hoping the girls would flip. I was hoping or not go to Rocks, because I thought they would get scared. But that was the guys' conversation. Obviously, they saw Caleb talking to Anna and she was trying to work that. But for the most part, I was pitching guys versus girls with Caleb and Ty together.
So you didn't feel like you had any sort of confidence left in working with Michelle or any of the women?
No, because Anna and Julie were so tight and Michelle was their third. And yeah. I was so annoyed by that, because I was like, Michelle, why would you go to them when you're the third option to them, or you're their third wheel? And meanwhile, I want you to be my number one. But it was the way I came across, and I deserved her to leave, in a sense, the alliance with mm-hmm. me.
When I spoke with her, she had said that the biggest problem for her in terms of working with you early on was because that she felt like that, you know, you guys were saying we're going to be an alliance, but she felt like you weren't showing that to her. Do you feel like, is that a fair assessment, or do you feel like that was misrepresented?
No, that's 100% accurate. I kept telling her, like, hey, like, I don't want to seem close. Like, let's just stay distant. When we have to talk, we have to talk and we'll talk it out. But she needed more from me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's my fault, because I didn't pick up on that. Like, she needed...
Because to me, I felt like it was almost like a dating thing, not to imply a romantic thing, but like Chris Rock says, you know, if you're his girlfriend and you haven't met any of his friends, you are not his girlfriend.
Right. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised, and this is, I don't want this to come off poorly, but again, like, I'm this guy who maybe she thinks is dreamy, and she says in confessional, and all of a sudden, like, I'm shunning her in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to leave the best impression on her when she needs a little bit more. She needs to have conversations. She needs to have more attention, whether...
Connection.
Yeah. Oh, that awful connection word. But I should have picked up on it. And,
yes.
And here's the thing, though. She never told me it either, but she didn't have to tell me. I should have figured it out myself.
So then we get to the point where there's the swap, and lo and behold, you and Michelle go off on your own to the new tribe. Which one? Chandlo?
You guys are Chandlo. New brains.
And it's 2-2-2. And this is almost like you are reborn here and you have a chance to redo this relationship.
Yeah, it felt so good to get onto a new tribe, because I really did think I had the potential of going home, even though Anna had told me otherwise in the game
mm-hmm.
After Caleb left. I was actually petrified supposedly Scott and Jason and them threw that challenge when Alicia went home. And I think they did, actually. I believe them on that. But I thought Anna was throwing it. I thought she was trying to get me out when she couldn't finish the puzzle. But so when I got to the new tribe, I was like, oh my goodness, thank God. And thank God I'm with Michelle, because she was the best option other than Ty, I would say. Because Ty and I had gotten closer because we were on the bottom, even more so. But yeah, so when I was on the tribe and then I came up with that good lie, and she told you this in the podcast of like, oh yeah, Michelle and I were on the bottom. We were going to be voted out.
Yeah.
And she went with it. And I was like, thank you. And Michelle and like had a private conversation. I was like, thank you, Michelle, for like doing that. And so she was with it. And it was a good spot to be in.
Okay. And so then what did you have going on there? Because obviously you feel like you have Michelle at that point in time.
Yes.
So then you have really two different ways that you can go. We saw you eventually talking with Debbie. We saw you also talking with Jason. So how were you sort of feeling out that group of 222?
Well, first of all, Michelle had nowhere to go. She had nowhere to run to, right? She had to pair up with me as far as I was concerned strategically. And we did work it out. Like we were forming a better relationship ever since like day six or so on Beauty, because it was day six or so where I realized, oh my God, I'm playing like an idiot. And so when we got to Beauty, we had conversations. So when she says, I wasn't a big fan of that, when she says like, we weren't talking, because we were talking. It just wasn't enough for her. It just wasn't enough attention. It just wasn't enough strategy discussions. But
Were you afraid that if people saw you guys together, that people would see you as more of a pair as opposed to, oh, they're not really that close, let's go after the other twosome?
Well, what I found out early was it's really obvious who's in an alliance together as far as pairs go. Like, people don't really hide it. And that's what I found fascinating. So I wanted to hide it. I wanted to be the wild card in the situation. So we, like, I would tell Michelle, like, hey, tell them that you are not close. And I'm going to tell them we're not close. So that's how Debbie, Neil, Sydney, and Jason, they constantly came up to me ever since day one on New Brains saying, Nick, so you're not close with Michelle, right? Okay, we're going to vote her out first because she's the weakest player here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, it's the same story all over again on day one through three on Beauty. And that's not Michelle's fault. That's my fault. So I kept that in this time. So instead of telling her right away that she was in trouble and she was going to be voted out, I didn't say a word to her. Mm-hmm. And I didn't talk to her about strategy. I just, you know, hung out with her and stuff like that privately sometimes when we would go get like wood or something. But I refused to tell her because I made that mistake the first time. And again, that was a mistake in itself again because I didn't tell her, almost in a sense. It was almost like I couldn't win no matter how I was communicating with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so upset with that I could never figure it out. And that's where you see me kind of get frustrated with her when she has the I don't need to be carried, bro situation.
I don't need to be carried, bro. And, bro, I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She knew already. No, she knew. Like, I don't even think she knew. But
well, talk about that point in the game, because are you saying, all right, they're going to vote Michelle out. I have to save her.
Yes.
Okay.
So every time they would come up to me, either as a group or individually, it was mostly Jason and Sydney together, they would tell me, or Jason by himself. I never got to talk to Sydney one-on-one because I always respected that relationship that Jason and Sydney had. I didn't want to walk all over that. And then Debbie would tell me one-on-one that she wanted Michelle gone. And then Neil would tell me when he was with Jason or Debbie or myself one-on-one. And so it was constant, the days one through six or how many days we were on Brains. And it only ever changed. Debbie had said like she didn't like Jason. She gave me that opening. She was like, I don't like Jason because he's lazy and he spits. And I was like, okay. But she was like, but we still need to get rid of Michelle because she's weak. And then Jason would say, oh, Sydney and Debbie are getting too close and getting too tight. And Jason and I saw that easily because Sydney would keep calling Debbie Miss Debbie.
Miss Debbie.
Yeah. And so we saw that. And so Jason was nervous about Debbie. So I was like, okay. I think I didn't want to get rid of Jason because he was a good alliance mate at that time. But I did want to get rid of Debbie if that was a possibility to save Michelle. But unfortunately, Michelle came with that information from Debbie, like, Debbie doesn't want me out. I was like, oh my God, she does want you out. You know, and I just got annoyed. I just got frustrated. And I would have liked to have seen Debbie have gone, but I don't think we would have been able to pull it off. If anything, I think it would have backfired on me because I think Michelle was so pissed at me after that situation. And if I was kept trying to save her, I think she would have just thrown me under the bus, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And her and Sydney didn't connect, like she said, until day six or right before the merge. So again, Michelle was so passive in socially and strategically that I was doing all the work. And I know that sounds bad. I know it sounds condescending, but I really was working my ass off to save her at all costs. And I know she didn't view it that way. And I know it's a bad thing to say, but that's how at least I viewed it.
And it's a very complicated game. And it's a game that's based on how people perceive one another. Mm. And so if that's not how she's perceiving it, you know, it's really one of those things where that's not her truth, even if you feel that that's how you were perceiving all this. So,
well, yeah, well, she, I remember her saying like, it was, everybody was like obvious that Michelle and I were together, but based on what everybody was telling me, it wasn't obvious. They wanted her out.
So then we get to where we're getting closer to the merge. You guys never go to a tribal council in those two episodes that you guys are together. Your reaction to Anna being voted out was thumbs up. You were happy?
I was excited about that because it gave me some freedom of getting rid of Anna because she knew where I was at strategically. I was her competition strategically on beauty and she was mine and she beat me on beauty. So I was glad to see her go.
Right before you guys go into the merge, we have the moment where Neil is allegedly spotted with the idol in his pocket. Yeah. What do you got?
So first of all, he didn't have the idol in that pocket.
Yeah.
He at the merge, and we all definitely thought Neil had the idol based on what was in the bulge in his pocket at Brains Beach. But we had no idea. And I never broached the subject until the merge. And it was not until that time where I was like, hey, Neil, everybody here thinks you have an idol in your pocket and like it's that big bulge in the pocket of yours. And he was like, this is not even an idol. And so he opened up his pocket in the jungle with me. And I think Aubrey was probably there and maybe even Joe. And he showed me and it was like husk. It was like nothing. It was not an idol. I promise you.
Yeah.
But so what he does is though, he shows me the actual idol. And I was like, what? Dude, this is dumb. And I was like laughing in confessional this whole time because I was like, why is he telling me he has an idol? Like, he doesn't have to tell me this. He just proved that he didn't have one in his pocket. So that was really funny. So I got to confirm, though, that he did have an idol while everybody thought he did. And he did.
So you guys go into the merge now. And now this is really when you start really get to start playing your game. Yeah. And this is like starting to be like the high point in the game with you once we get to the merge, because you really feel like that you are in the driver's seat based on these three different alliances that have now all come together. So can you just talk us through what your thought process was at the merge when you guys get down to what, 11 people?
Yeah, 11 people. Oh my God, that was fantastic. The beauties were in control. It was me, Michelle and Julia, and a little bit Ty on the outside of that, because we had all these connections that all trace back to us three, Julia and Michelle and I, and the brains and the brawn were never willing to work together because Debbie had a rift with Jason, because Scott would never be able to get along with Debbie. Joe was causing trouble with the boys, with Jason and Scott. They weren't getting along. And Neil obviously didn't want to work with Jason and Scott because he couldn't fit in again. So we just fell into this position almost where I didn't really have to do much and the girls really didn't have to do much. But, you know, I just pushed the story a little bit further when I was working with both groups.
Because we never saw that on the show, the beauty tribe working together as a unit. We saw brains working together as a unit. We saw brawn working together as a unit. But you guys seemed like you were just still like all over the place.
Yeah, we were a little bit all over the place. Michelle and I, again, would have brief conversations. And I would have conversations quickly with Michelle and Julia. Sometimes I would have side conversations with Julia, but definitely not as much as Michelle. But like I would warn, and this was bad too, probably. I would warn Julia and Michelle. I would be like, hey, it's going to get really nasty soon. Like it's going to get really bloody. It's going to get really messy. And people are going to start backstabbing each other. Just get ready for it. And I don't think I should have said that. It was unnecessary.
So you knew about Neil's idol. You also find
at
out
the merge. I knew.
You also find out about the idol that Scott tells you about how Ty has the idol. Correct.
Yeah.
Or they tell you that Neil has the idol as well.
No. Well, I mean, the talk.
I forget whose idol they told.
No,
me about.
They told me about Ty's idol.
Okay.
Just like right away. I did not. I never knew about Jason's idol. And I want to give credit to Jason. He told us a phenomenal lie. I know Neil has said otherwise. Neil, you're wrong. But like Jason had told a phenomenal lie that Alicia had it, and that's why she stayed in the game for so long. Mm-hmm. Because we had seen how much they disliked Alicia and vice versa. So I had no idea that Jason had an idol.
And so now you are feeling at this point that you could really go either way. You could go with Braun, or you could stick with the or go with the brains.
Yeah, it was a beautiful position.
But was it an actual choice for you to decide which way to go? When I talked to Michelle, she said no, it was always going to be voting out one of the brains. It was never on the table. There's 11 people. So even if you vote with all of the Brains tribe members, who's that sixth vote?
I had considered the Brains, but it was just never going to work out. So Michelle is right in a sense.
Okay.
It was always going to be Braun. Because when I would ever talk to Neil or Aubrey, I would always be saying, hey, let's just get a Braun out. Or no, excuse me. They would want to get a Braun out first. So they wanted Jason or Scott out right away. And I was like, nah, you know what, guys? Like, Debbie's going a little crazy. Like, let's get out Debbie first, and then I'll give you a Braun. And so I wanted to have this negotiation with them, but neither of us would budge. They wanted a Braun first. I wanted Debbie first because she was being a wild card and she was being too over the top with me in public. So we couldn't.
What do you mean? Like,
agree.
She was being too over the top with you in terms of like alliance,
like friendly. Like again, like I want to be covert about it. I want to be secretive about it. So like, if Debbie, I asked Debbie on Brains Beach, hey, do you want to go to the final two together? And like, she like hesitated, and I was like, oh, she doesn't want to go to the end with me. So I knew Debbie didn't want to go all the way with me, and doesn't mean what I mean. But but anyway, so I knew, yeah, it just wasn't going to happen. It was never going to happen.
Okay. So who are you feeling the closest with in the game when you get to that point in the merge? Is it Michelle?
Still Michelle.
Michelle.
What a dumb. I couldn't be more dumb in that situation.
See, I really feel like with your game, you're making like all these connections,
yeah.
But... you don't have like that, you know, ride or die, because for Michelle, you know, she's back with Julia at this point.
Yes. So I think actually if Julia had gotten voted out eventually instead of Peter, I think that would actually help my game, because then Michelle wouldn't have had somebody to go to, and Julia, again, she would have been tied to me and I would have been her rock. And like, oh yeah, whatever. I'll talk about something else later. But Michelle and I did have a good relationship. We had an up and down relationship, but we did have good moments. Like when you saw us under the tree,
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. There's a bunch of smooching. But we got on the same page for once in the game.
Yes.
And she had listed out, okay, we'll get Sydney out next, and then we'll get someone out next. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to do this. Like, we're in the middle and we're going to stay in the middle. And then all of a sudden it fell apart once Neil got medevac.
All right. Talk a little bit more about Debbie in terms of, you know, you guys had a bunch of scenes together when you were still at Chanlo, and then coming into the merge, we saw like, oh, because people were talking about Debbie as a winner, in the first like five or six episodes. Like, oh boy, Debbie is really getting, you know, before it started to take over with Michelle, there were people talking about like, boy, Debbie is having this great edit. And you felt like, oh, she's all over this season. And then it really started to all fall apart at the point where she's just like, hey, everybody else is playing defense. I'm playing offense out here. Was it as simple as when she got to the merge, it was a switch, or we were just seeing more of it on the show, and that's how she was the whole way?
No, I think it was maybe a combination of both. We were seeing more of it, but also she did turn it up a notch at the merge for sure, because she wasn't bad at Chanlo. She was great with me. She would have private conversation with me about voting out Michelle and being annoyed with Jason. And she was actually pretty covert about it. So it wasn't until the merge, because like there's this whole issue between where you saw it on TV, she had cornered Ty to agree to get into an alliance with them. And it was a whole issue because I went to go have a conversation with Ty later. I was like, Ty, what do you want to do, man? Like, are we going with the brains or are we going with the brawn? We have to figure this out. And he had wound up shaking Joe's hand or something like that. And then eventually Ty told Joe, like, no, the deal's off. And so eventually, like, I found out through Joe or Aubrey that Joe was pissed about it, that Ty backed out of the deal that Debbie had cornered him into. It was this whole mess. So, like, Debbie had caused such paranoia, I guess I want to say, or so much stress, at least for everybody, that it was just too much.
Let me ask you about, in a hypothetical situation, I think that, you know, everybody said all season long, oh, Debbie, she'll play again. She'll play again one day. And so one day, if Debbie was to ever play again, do you feel like, could she correct the mistakes? No,
not a chance. And it's not because she's not aware of them. It's just, I don't think she can. And I would make that argument for most people. Like, I don't think most people can change. And I don't think Debbie is an exception to that rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's always going to play with people that she likes. Like, she couldn't, and I think I've heard her in exit interviews say maybe like, oh, like I should have tolerated Scott and Jason more. I don't think she can tolerate somebody that annoys her. I just don't think it's in her genes.
Okay.
So I don't see her. I see her being loyal. I see her going to the end only if she's got somebody who wants to take her to the end.
So now at the point where Neil is going to end up getting medevaced. Okay. So you were already out on the plan to vote with the brains. You were going to be sticking with the brawn at that point in time. So either Neil or Aubrey was going to go home at that vote.
Yeah, either Neil or Aubrey. I think Michelle was right. I think we were doing 4 on Aubrey and 3 on Neil. I can't believe. I think I did have a brain fart out there where I thought we were going to re-vote and vote out Neil. I think that was on me. I said that in exit interviews. Or I just came up with that idea when Neil was being annoying at Ponderosa and talking about a second chance. I wanted to come up with a way to vote him out.
Right.
Yeah. So we were definitely. I think Aubrey would have went home.
Okay. So then. Ultimately, you're still feeling good though, because this is great, and then this is really you won immunity.
Yeah, what a waste that was.
Do you feel like it was a waste? Was it sort of? Did you think that led to partially your undoing, where winning that first challenge that put a bigger target on your back?
I think it did in regards to Sydney's point of view of me. But here's the thing: I didn't need to win that immunity. I even went into confessionals talking about it nonstop. I was like, I don't need to win this upcoming one. Like, we are in a beautiful spot. And that was the truth. We really were. And yet I won it anyway, like another big dumb idiot that I was. So,
yeah.
It was useless. I should not have won that, no matter what, even if we went to tribal.
You know, Steven and I always talk about, you know, there's the conventional wisdom of the merge boot. Is that in your head at all about how, like, oh, well, they're going to, you know, vote off the alpha male at the merge?
Well, like I said, I was laughing in confessionals. I think you even saw me, like, smiling too much or whatever at the merge, where I was like, this can't be happening. Like, this has to be a joke. Jason and Scott have just told me Ty is an idol for sure. Neil just showed me his idol. The brains and the brawn can't get along. There's like these food wars going on. Debbie and Joe are eating too much food. Scott and Jason hate how they're eating so much food. And so there's so much tension and we're in the middle. And so I was laughing about it, how good of a position we were in. So no, I wasn't even close to thinking about it. I just thought a big joke was being played on me and they were all just going to boot me out. And like, I was going to be the laughing stock of them telling me so much information that I was going to get voted out.
You talked about Jason and Scott in the episodes about how you felt like that you were in a good spot with them, that they were getting overconfident. Mm-hmm. You were trying to eventually, you were going to make a move against them. What was your relationship like with them during that point in the game?
So then that's the trouble with my communication with Michelle and Julia as well. I was working so hard to get in with Scott and Jason.
You were going undercover.
In a sense. I mean, I was just working my rear end off to make them feel comfortable. And they were doing the same thing with me. They weren't going to go to the final seven with me. They told me at Ponderosa, at least, that they were
going to. Jason and Scott told me. Yeah. Okay.
They told me that they were going to vote me out at final 8. And what Michelle and I had planned when Neil was still in the game, that we were going to vote out Sydney at 9 and break up that whole alliance. And so I was trying to play them. They were trying to play me. Yet, no matter how much I communicated with Michelle and Julia and tried to tell them in brief snippets that I was with Julia and Michelle, they never believed me, I guess. And they never, because I was always with Scott and Jason in a sense, trying to get information and trying to work it. So I was closer to my enemies than I was my actual alliance mates. And that was a huge error on my part.
What we saw in the episode was that there's this point where the women are out in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Or, with Ty.
Yes. And then you are with Jason and Scott. And there's this talk about some sort of women's alliance. You think they could be doing it? Is that possible? And then you go and interview Julia about this, which really upset Sydney to the point that when I interviewed her, she still seemed mad about that.
I don't know.
Check me, boo.
Yeah. No checking Sydney for sure. She wasn't happy about it. She gets a little, you know, over emotional or irrational. And
she said that was very bad.
Yeah, she said it was very bad gameplay. And she was right. But I don't think she actually heard us. Like, I think she says that because I remember her at Ponderosa saying, like, she didn't hear us. And I was like, and I told her, I was like, no, Sydney, you were right.
And I'm like, brr.
Yep.
She was like that, yes. But I wish Jason, and it was a bad move, But and that was the spark plug to me getting voted out. But it wasn't the reason I got voted out. The reason I got voted out was because I had a shitty or I had a crappy relationship with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I got voted out ultimately, because I had such poor relationships on Beauty.
What was your relationship like with Julia? Because I feel like we haven't talked about that at all.
Well, actually, that started on Beauty too. I think it was within the first few moments on the first day. I think I had asked Julia, like, hey, so what are you thinking? Like, who are you not connecting with? Or whatever I said nonchalantly. And she was about to tell me somebody, and then she stopped. And I was like, oh boy, she's smart. Like, she doesn't want to act first. And like, I was like, okay, this girl's smart. She's just going to be a force to be reckoned with. And so I went the opposite direction. I should have partnered up with Julia, to be honest. Mm-hmm. She would have been the perfect match for me. She wanted to play in the middle and play strategically. And she was the person I should have linked up with.
Okay. Then going into, you know, when ultimately you're undoing in the game, that this is the point where we have Sydney and Aubrey, then pulling in, you know, Debbie and Michelle and Julia, ultimately Joe as well. We don't need to revisit everything from the exit interview. I feel like that we've talked right. about a lot of that when we had that conversation. But is there any other things from that that you want to get into?
Well, I think it always goes full circle back to Beauty Beach and Michelle and I's relationship, because Sydney supposedly had gone up to Aubrey and then Michelle right after we got back from the Immunity Challenge and said, hey, let's vote out Nick. And then Michelle came up immediately to me and she said, they are coming for you. They want you out. Mm-hmm. And she used that verbiage. And as soon as she told me that, I was facing whatever the camp, she was facing the ocean, Michelle. And as soon as she told me that, Scott and Jason were walking to the water well. So I sped off after them to figure out what the heck was going on. Like, what situation did I get myself into where Jason and Scott want to vote me out at this point? And Michelle, again, back to Beauty Beach, Michelle took that as Nick doesn't want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Nick doesn't want to give me attention. Nick is blowing me off. And she was right to think that, because that's how we started off. And I never corrected that. So like, it was almost the perfect storm in the sense where I blow her off. That's how she perceives it. But I'm going to correct the situation. That's how I perceive it. And when I came back, I did talk to her about it, but it was too late. It was too late in the day after going through confessionals, after with talking to other people, where I was like, Michelle, they're not voting for me. They're not coming for me. I figured it out. Everything's good. And she was by that point too pissed at me. And the plan had already been solidified where I was going to be voted out.
If only you guys had like some sort of relationship counseling out there.
Yeah, we needed a marriage counselor, yeah. A boyfriend, girlfriend,
Michelle
or alliance.
Wanted to talk about the problem. You just wanted to fix the problem.
Can I'm going to take all the blame on this as I should, but can we blame her for not bringing it up to me? Like, come on, bring it up to me. Like, just tell me you want to talk.
From where I'm sitting, it worked out just fine for her.
You're right. That's true. It worked out actually perfect for her. She's got a couple zeros in the bank account.
Yeah, she nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. She was definitely right. No, you're right.
Okay. Well, I'm really interested to start to get into the parts of the story that I feel like we haven't covered at all, and sort of the journey of this jury, because this jury has been probably the most controversial jury in a Survivor generation, back to probably Heroes versus Villains, where there's been so much controversy about how, you know, what the jury was doing.
Right, yeah, at least as of recently.
I don't know why, a Survivor generation, I decided, is six years.
I don't even know where to begin, to be honest, but I'll start here. This might get a little choppy. When you get voted out 11th or 10th, as far as I know, and I think even after us, but you know so little, and I think Jeremy had this in your podcast with you, you don't have any information after the fact. So if you were not to talk to anybody, if you were not to listen to anybody's opinion, if you were just to be forceful in your own opinion when you got to Ponderosa, you would most likely vote for the most likable person or the least offensive person.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for me as well. I would have voted for the least offensive person or the most likable person if I didn't work my butt off on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a slam on everybody else who wound up voting for Michelle. But I worked my ass off trying to get information and trying to figure out what it was. And
so
Jeremy,
you feel
that.
Like that you did your due diligence as a juror, because we've heard so many accusations about this jury of this was a bitter jury. However, you voted for Aubrey, but the complaint that I've heard leveled against you is that you too were a bitter juror. And that's why you voted against Michelle for Aubrey.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating argument.
So everybody was bitter.
Yeah, everybody's bitter. Everybody's bitter beer face. First of all, I don't like how bitter gets thrown around about the bitter jury. It's such
except for Joe. He was the only non-bitter juror.
Yeah, he was just loyal or faithful. But it's such a lazy way to describe a jury. It's such a lazy way to describe Scott and Jason and them just because they didn't vote for Michelle. Because there's so much more that goes into it. Because I just described to you, you know so little going forward once you're voted out. And if you don't listen to other people coming through, and if you don't really sift through the information, that's the conclusion you're going to come to. And it's understandable why you see sometimes that juries do vote this way. They vote for the least offensive person or the most likable person. And that's okay. I believe that it's okay. Because you wind up putting these people on the jury and it's the player's fault. I believe I could talk about this for days. Again, I'm going to be choppy with this, but Sydney and Aubrey were in control and they put those people on the jury. Those people were the wrong people to put on the jury and how they put them on the jury. That is ultimately their fault. They should have went to the end with either Scott and Jason or Debbie, Scott and Jason or some combination of that. And then they would have won, but they didn't have enough forethought to do that. And that's not a slam on them. It's a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they went about the game as in, let's just vote out people that we can't get along with and that we don't like and figure it out in the end. I don't believe that's a way to go about it.
So you are a proponent of that you need to bring your goats to the end. That's really how you have to be like trying to figure out like who are the people that are the jury, like, and I like to use Boston Rob as the example where that there were probably people that could have beaten him in Redemption Island, but he realizes that no jury in their right mind could give the money to Natalie or to Philip.
Yeah, you have to at least have that thought process and think it out and try to put it into action. And I get where people are going to say, and I've had, and let me just say this too. This is not snark or shade or I hate that kind of stuff. Like Michelle or Aubrey or I or Julie and I would have plenty of conversations about this stuff on the phone. So they all know how I feel. And I think they feel somewhat similar. But Aubrey knows it's her fault for putting those people on the jury. And most people, what I found out, and I think I knew this before going in, but most people play with people they like. It's just the default method of doing it. You're comfortable, so you play with people you like and you don't want to be uncomfortable in that situation. And so it makes sense. It just gives you an uphill battle if you're an Aubrey. And there's so much stuff that was said at Ponderosa that I'll be able to give insight to in a second.
Always teasing.
I know. But I mean, I just know why Aubrey lost, or I think I know why Aubrey lost and why Michelle won. And I think it's okay. Like, I just don't like when the fan base gets upset about a winner because Michelle did deserve to win. I'm going to stand by that. Even though I voted for Aubrey, Michelle deserved to win.
I mean, take us through wherever you want to take us.
But- So the vibe of the jury... Let's picture it like this. You have all these alpha people on the jury, right? You have Neil. He runs a successful company, millions of dollars, right? Super smart guy. You have me. Let's say I'm an alpha beta, right? Debbie. She's an alpha woman for sure. You have Scott. He's played in front of thousands of people for millions of dollars at the highest stakes possible in the NBA, in front of millions of people on television. Jason, he's been in Blackwater, high stress situations that no civilian could even imagine. You don't ask a guy like Jason what he did at Blackwater, right? And then you got Sydney, another alpha female. Oh, and then you got Joe, another alpha guy, right? And who's been in the FBI with negotiations. And Sydney is this freak athlete. So you have all these alpha people and you wind up with Michelle, who probably tends to be on the more beta side. You have Ty, who probably wants it to be more the beta side. And you have Aubrey, who even winds up being on the more beta side. And there was this tone at Ponderosa where the negative traits were what were amplified. So if we're getting down to the final four, what was said about Sydney was she was over emotional, she was irrational, and she was hypocritical in the way she was playing the game.
Okay.
Guess what? From Neil to Joe, every person had that type of phrase to say about people, and it wasn't groupthink at all. They all said it individually to me at one point, at some point, and they were right. They're not wrong. They were 100% right. But here's the thing. Sydney was in control. She was the one guiding the votes along with Aubrey. So then let's move to Aubrey. Aubrey, her big negative was she was indecisive. She was wishy-washy. She was weak when it came across as her personality. But guess what again? everybody was right who said that about her. And everybody said that about her on the jury. Because I saw the same things that they were talking about with Aubrey and Sydney. It was true. There's no way to slice it up where that stuff isn't accurate. But again, Aubrey was in control with Sydney. Then you get to Ty. Ty was clueless. He didn't use his advantage as well. He didn't know what was going on in the game. And people were telling him what to do, and he was doing it. And that was, again, the vibe from Neil all the way to Joe. That's how Ty was in his negative side. Then we get to Michelle. And then Michelle was not intelligent. She was not playing smart. She was always a vote. She was a follower. She was a vote.
Not intelligent in the game.
In the game, correct. And so that, again, like a joke on the jury was Michelle was watching Survivor instead of actually playing it. Like, she's watching it on her television.
Mm-hmm.
And every single jury didn't say that phrase, but every single jury felt that way about Michelle. And same thing with Ty. And all of them were right. And that's my point. The jury was not wrong in their thoughts on the final four. They were 100% right on those negative traits that they saw. And in my opinion, I've heard Jason, and I think, you know, I've heard some other people on the jury that I disagree with, that Jason said that they didn't see Aubrey's game. I think that's not true. I don't think that's accurate whatsoever. And again, this is not slamming Jason, because he and I would have a conversation about this and a discussion about this. This is a one-way conversation. But I don't find that to be accurate, because guess what? I found out that Aubrey was in control through the people that kept coming through the jury. And those discussions were had. I just don't think the jury wanted to see, or the majority of the jury didn't want to see, that Aubrey was the one in control. They didn't want to see Aubrey's strategy. It was a choice. And whether you say it's consciously or subconsciously, that's up for debate. I just don't think it's true that they didn't see it. I think it's a bunch of baloney, quite frankly.
So when you guys are at Ponderosa, and we only get to see a little bit of what's going on, and it seems like everybody is sort of like around the table, and sort of like when you guys first come in, are there sort of debates that happen between, hey, I think this person is doing this. Like, nah, get out of here. You're crazy. She's not doing that. He's not doing that. Like, did you guys talk through these things as a group?
You sometimes talk about it. And yeah, and there are those situations. Like when Neil was there, I think he was actually a bad thing for Aubrey, because Neil would stick up for Aubrey, and the other people who weren't for Aubrey were like, oh no, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's indecisive. She's wishy-washy. And they were saying all these negative things about her. So like Neil brought that out. And so he wouldn't have changed the vote. He knows that too. He said that. But I don't think there's groupthink, because I tried to make it clear, at least in the way I was acting, like nobody share who they're voting for. Everyone's going to make their own decision. Nobody's here to influence anyone else. It definitely does sort of happen in conversation, but I didn't want there to be active campaigning, because I don't view the game that way. If you're going to put me on the jury, I'm not there to actively campaign for you. Like, I'm not there to say, hey, Aubrey's the best player ever. She should be the winner of our season. That's not my job. That's Aubrey's job. And I've told Aubrey that. I said, it was your fault you lost if you did lose. And it was Michelle's credit that she won. And the people who are in control of the vote should get the most blame if they're the ones who lose. So Sydney and Aubrey are the ones to blame for that.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that I don't have a good feel on this, but maybe you could help me out with this. So I was on the jury for one night in the Amazon. And from what I remember, it was frowned upon to talk about the game. Like I remember having like a couple of like conversations, like one-on-one with people about who should win, Jenna or Matt. But I feel like that as a group, if that subject was brought up about the game, we were sort of told like, okay, guys, you know, we're not talking about that here. But since the advent of the Ponderosa video, when I see the Ponderosa videos, and it's like everybody's around, and it doesn't seem like there's a restriction about talking about the game, is it still where they don't want you guys talking about the game at Ponderosa, or is this a new era of Survivor where you guys want to talk about the game? Fine.
I think it's a little mixed. Maybe it's a little bit more lackadaisical than it was back then. I didn't live through it. But no, they did like try and hush us a little bit, like to say like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about this, guys.
Is the idea if they're not making Ponderosa videos, then, you know, they don't really want you guys getting into a debate about who should win the game?
No, I don't. I never got that vibe from the people that were working there. But it was my vibe, to be honest. Like, I didn't want that. And we would have discussions, though, and And then that's how, but see, that's the thing though. That's how I found out about what was happening. I got to ask all these people questions that were coming through the jury as the jurors of who was in control. And all I kept hearing was all the negative things about everybody, but then also who was the ones controlling the vote. And that's where I think the huge thing is, those people didn't want to see that who was truly in control. And then this is back to the alpha thing about the jurors. I think one of the, I've tried to figure this out or analyze it as much as I could. I think one of the worst traits to an alpha person is probably indecisiveness, is probably wish-washiness, is probably a weak personality. And I've talked to Aubrey about this again. And so Aubrey had that trait, and that's such a negative trait to people like Scott and so on and so forth. I don't want to call him out, but everybody that was on the jury, and myself included. So like I even found it, like Aubrey would have like, Aubrey would like whisper to me in front of people in the game, and like the sound guys would get pissed off and they would look at me and they'd be like, dude, why is she whispering? Like, we need to get this on sound. And I was like, I can't tell her. Like, you need to go get a producer and tell her. So it was stuff like that that does annoy people like me and Scott and Jason, even though I voted for Aubrey.
And the sound guy.
But what I'm trying to say is, though, that negative trait stood out so much that they didn't want to vote for her no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a bad trait to that type of person on the jury that they refused to vote for her. And meanwhile, someone like Michelle, who has a negative trait of not being smart strategically or not being all there in the game, they were okay with that because that's not as bad of a trait to them. And so they found a way to vote for her. And then that's at least how I view it. And that's why I want to say it's okay. They're human beings and they're allowed to think like that. And they're allowed to have that emotional response. And that falls on Aubrey and Sydney's lap. Because Sydney wouldn't have won. If Sydney won fire, she wouldn't have won either.
Mm-hmm.
So technically... So
would you have voted for Sydney over Michelle?
I would have most likely voted for Sydney because, again, she was in control. And again, I'm not a fan of being over-emotional or hypocritical or irrational, but yeah. I would have.
So for this jury, it was that Aubrey's negatives were higher than Michelle's negatives.
Yeah. And it's a fascinating time on the jury because you tend to highlight everybody's negatives.
Because we talk about this a lot, especially in this political year where we have two candidates that have extremely high negatives.
Mm-hmm.
It's really come down to, hold your nose and who could you stand more?
Well, that's actually even perfect, even more so, because when Joe was still in the game, there was actually discussion amongst the group that Joe could win the season. And it's not a knock on Joe. Obviously, they didn't show him that much, but he was a pocket vote for Aubrey, right? And that was another thing. That was another negative for Aubrey, that she had a pocket vote, which is another ridiculous argument because she was one. Okay, Neil could have had Joe. Peter could have had Joe as a pocket vote, yada, yada, yada. But it wound up being who's the lesser of two evils or who's the least offensive. And it wound up being Michelle. And that's why I get bummed out when Michelle gets upset or bummed that she won and yet the fans are kind of upset about it. It's that, no, why is that a bad trait to be likable or to be the one who won $1 million? Like, that's a good thing and you should take some pride in that. But so it's a bummer to see the fans get overreact to it as far as I'm concerned.
And I think it's just a hard thing to personify, but I do feel like that I do buy into that this jury will award the money to the person that they personally felt the best about. And I think that is a good thing to be able to make people like, and I feel like that I'm trying to, consciously, as I think about like these upcoming seasons, like I feel like that when we started doing this podcast, I go back to the first season we did a preview of where I picked Marty Piombo was going to win Survivor Nicaragua because he's the best strategist. And I would never pick a guy like Marty Piombo to win a season of Survivor at this point because I feel like that, no offense to Marty.
Yeah, Marty's listening.
But I feel like that he is sort of like, he's not the person, I feel like that, coming off of Jeremy and Michelle, I'm much more into who is the person who's making people like feel comfortable and feel good out there.
Well, yeah, you even heard it. Yeah. With they saying for the second chance season, like maybe they were discussing about Kimmy women winning or whatever. And that's not a knock on those types of players. There's different ways to play and there's different ways to win. And I wish just the fan base was more accepting of that. But again, it's a catch-22 because it shows.
But I feel like a lot of people have come around.
Yeah, I mean, it's died down, obviously, over time. But, mm-hmm. I mean, initially, though, and you, I thought Michelle was going to win 4-3, and that's why they were editing the season that they were. Thank goodness she won 5-2, because that would have been bad if it was 4-3, and she would have won because Neil was voted out. That would have been bad, real bad. Mm-hmm. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah.
I thought that vote out at the jury was going to backfire on production.
What was the reaction in the jury when that came up? That it was like, okay, everybody, just so you know, you guys probably thought it was going to be 3 going to a final 2 that night, right?
Yeah, but we sort of like had an idea that something was going down. I don't know why, but we did. And that's not like saying like we were smart or something. We figured it out, but like there were hints or something.
And so Michelle gets the opportunity. She's going to vote somebody out of the jury. Are you guys like kind of freaking out in the jury?
Yeah, but I was having a blast because I wasn't really thinking of the ramifications or the potential ramifications.
Because you had to think that potentially you were on the chopping block that night.
Yeah, obviously you think selfishly or egocentrically because, yeah, you think you're the one that's going to get voted out.
Of the jury.
Of the jury, yeah, twice. But no, as soon as Michelle began speaking, she was saying like, oh, the most intelligent person, yada, whatever. And so we knew that Neil was being voted out. I know Scott and Jason say that they could have been. But once she started explaining it and who she was voting out, it was obvious Neil was getting axed.
I forget whether I read this or somebody said this, but what do you think of this idea where for the people who were in your position, okay, you're on the jury and now Michelle did not vote you out of the jury. That did she endear herself to 7 other jurors in some way by saying, no, you stay. I like you. You're good. Neil is bad. You guys are all, you're fine.
No, I think it was simply we were loving it because it was so funny to us because Neil was this dummy on the jury at Ponderosa, like, I'm going to get my second chance. I was never voted out. Oh my God, I could have won. And then he gets voted out. So I think that's all we were thinking about. We're like, yeah, take that, Neil. See you later, buddy.
It was just so funny to you guys. You guys just came home and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Yeah, we salute. We had drinks. And so I don't think we even thought that. I don't think it did anything in her favor because I think the damage was already done at that point.
It was so tense when we saw Sydney's Ponderosa video mm-hmm. when Sydney came out and then yeah, Jason and Scott and also Julia were not talking with Sydney. We saw Debbie talk to her. I feel like that you and Neil were sort of just off doing your own thing at that point in time. So did the Neil getting voted out, did that sort of like, did that break the ice at all in terms of this jury where, or it just never got better before you guys
went
home?
Well, that whole Sydney issue. Yeah. That was decided by those three. They had talked about it individually or whatever that, yeah. And with me in front of me, like, yeah, that they weren't going to greet Sydney. But Neil and I did, and Debbie did, and Joe did. But Neil breaking the ice, he kind of relieve the jury from his pro Aubrey stance because he made his stance pretty clear. Whereas I didn't make my stance clear whatsoever. I was just listening and trying to get information out of everybody to see where the truth was in the game. And Scott and Jason, they were vocal on how they felt, but they weren't vocal on which person they were going to vote for. Same thing with Julia. Debbie kept to herself, did not say who she was going to vote for. And same thing with Sydney because, you know, Sydney only was there for a day or two or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know really who people were going to vote for other than the fact that I knew they weren't going to vote for Aubrey for the most part.
And then do you have any sort of fun stories about your time at the jury? I feel like a lot of people really liked the dynamic between you and Neil, both on Ponderosa and spilling over into social media during the season.
Yeah, well, that was just an acting job by me. I just wanted to make Neil feel special. You know, that's just what I do. Neil's a fake friend in real life and in the game. But no, it was fun at Ponderosa. We got to play. You have such a good time. And like I know I was saying, like, it's kind of negative with, you know, you're bringing up negative traits of the people who are still left in the game. But it's a blast. We had so much fun. We went into town, got massages, went to the pool. You eat, you drink, you play all these funny card games. Oh, we laughed so hard some of the nights. We had movie night. We played video games, volleyball.
Besides Neil, who did you get along with on the jury?
I got along with everybody.
Okay.
It's the only person that distanced themselves was Debbie. She didn't want to be a part of us. And that's understandable. Like, she wouldn't have fit in and it was too loud and obnoxious for her.
Mm-hmm. So what did Debbie do? She just like hung out by herself?
Yeah, she just removed herself from the eating area and would like go eat by herself. And like nobody called attention to it or anything like that. And that's what she wanted to do. And that was fine. And obviously Sydney, but then Joe came and he fit in and stuff like that. But it was a great time with Scott, Neil, Jason, and Julia.
What about from the final tribal council? I know there's always a bunch of stuff that gets cut from what we ultimately see on TV. Was there anything that was particularly memorable in your mind?
The only reason that I was so, well, not the only reason, I was really excited about our season for myself because I had such a good speech and questions into the final tribal, and I didn't really know what I was going to say, and like I only gave Jeff, because you meet with Jeff one-on-one, or sometimes Matt Van Wagenen comes to Ponderosa, or he's on the phone, and you go over like, oh, where are you thinking? Like, what are you going to ask? And he like types out notes and stuff like that. So I had no idea what I was going to do for the most part. And when I got up there, I had this whole thing written out in my head. And like, I just broke it down beautifully. No, not to pat myself on the back. And I asked all of them questions. I asked Michelle, what were the strategic tactics you implemented to get you where you are? And she did not give a good answer. She gave an answer of like, well, I just let people come to me with information, and then I acted accordingly. And like, I wanted her to say like she controlled the vote. I wanted her to say she flirted her way there. I wanted her to say something that was of substance, that she did something, and she wasn't there yet. And then Ty, I asked him, what was your strategic impact on the game? And my goal for him was to say like, he didn't really do a good job impacting the strategic portion of the game, because I wanted him to be aware, because that's what everybody was saying on the jury. He wasn't aware. And so he went into this whole spiel of like, oh, the Scott vote out was my biggest thing. And then I asked Aubrey, did you get everything you wanted with the eliminations in the game? And she dialed in. She was perfect with her confidence. And that's exactly what I told her she needed based on what the jury was saying at Ponderosa. And she just ripped into it. She said, yep, Nick, I voted you out because you were getting too close to everybody. I voted Scott out, or Debbie out, yada, yada, yada. And she went down the line. And it was a beautiful thing to see, because that was my way to impact the jury one last time, to be like, guys, I think Aubrey knew what she was doing and made the correct decisions. And I think you just saw Ty and Michelle kind of slip up, and yet that couldn't do it. Because I didn't want to give a David Murphy speech. I didn't want to give a speech where you like stand up for somebody, because again, that's not my job. I wanted Aubrey to earn it. I wanted Michelle to earn it. I wanted Ty to earn it.
And you were sort of like the foreman. You were the person who's sort of like, okay, here's what we want to see from you tonight. Here's what we want to see from you tonight. Like, do you talk that through with the jury of like, sort of like, okay, who's gonna come in hard? All right, I'll set the stage. No, I'll be the person.
So I didn't even contact. I didn't talk to Neil about it. I didn't talk to anybody about it. This was just all the information that I collected up to that point of final tribal council, where I knew how everybody felt about all the remaining finalists. And so it was such a good, I'll say this. I'm going to pat myself on the back in a second.
Teasing again.
I'm a teaser. So I went down, I said like, I envy your position, and the whole entire jury envies your position. Because I wanted to make it clear that the other jurors were envious of their situation, because they were so adamant and negative about these final three. And then I went into the fact like some of the people might not get questions. And that was, again, a vibe that I got from the jurors, because I knew that they were against Aubrey in a sense, and some of them were against Ty in a sense. And so I wanted to warn the final three. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to tell them, warn the final three about the negative things that were said about them, and to show the opposite of that, or to try to. And then I digged into the final three. And they didn't show that, thankfully. Well, but I mean, it was good though. But I was like, I basically called them out for playing the Sandra way. I basically said, you guys just played for the next 3 days. I didn't say that, those words, but I said something along the lines of like a baseball analogy. I said, one of you has to step up to the plate, because if you don't, then you'll wind up in the dugout with the other one, or something like that. And that's not verbatim.
Nailed it.
Yeah. No, it was good though. Because no, sorry. I have it on my phone, but I don't want to read it. But once I was done, hey, that's not funny.
Sorry.
But once I was done, Jeff paused taping and he stopped and he said, that was one of the best speeches, or one of the best opening speeches we've had in the 31 seasons. And like, he said that in front of everybody. And that like made me feel really great. And then to see it get cut down to what it was, I was bummed about that. That was the only thing I was bummed about the whole season. That was like the biggest blindside for me after Jeff complimented me like that. But it was too long.
Total blindside.
Yeah, total blindside. But again, you couldn't have shown that because Aubrey did so phenomenal with it. It would have been more confusing to the audience.
Yeah.
There was too much time.
What about in terms of the finale? Any good stories from going to the finale?
Like the reunion, the party or something like that?
Yeah. Anything.
It's fascinating to meet all the fans and stuff like that. No drama or anything. It's a fun experience. You get to sign stuff. But it's a whirlwind. It goes by fast. You got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't have really anything specific though.
Did you get to meet Sia?
I did meet Sia in the green room. She's bubbly. She's crazy. She's energetic. Mm-hmm. Got a picture with her. Yeah, that was nice. But we had no idea what was coming.
Yes.
I haven't rewatched the reunion. Obviously, I didn't get a question. Yeah, who won the Bryce versus you pool? Did you win it?
You know, I think that he won it based on the fact that Debbie mentioned Jen by name.
Oh, God. Oh, that's an awful way to lose.
No. The nail biter. Yeah. You could have picked 10 people each for us.
But again, I think that was the right decision to do the Sia thing because it took heat away from the Alicia topic. And I think it went by quicker, so it was good.
Yeah, it's a whole controversy. I mean, I wasn't up in arms as much as it was just like very absurd because I kind of feel like that, you know, people are going to complain about the reunion show no matter what. Yeah. That, like, I don't think nobody's going to stop watching Survivor because of a lackluster reunion show.
Right. You have to go in knowing that it's probably not going to be the best reunion in the world just based on history. And yeah, it got picked up by TMZ, right? The Sia thing with Ty. I think I saw it. So yeah, that's phenomenal for the producers in the show.
What are you going to do? Yeah. All right. And anything else from the jury, the game, the reunion before I jump into some questions?
I want to say, like, the biggest thing about deserving, yeah, I hear that a lot. Like, Michelle deserved to lose. Aubrey deserved to win. I don't believe in that. And I think it's a lazy way to look at Survivor and the jury experience and the finalists. Because Michelle did deserve to win because she got 5 votes. And when people say that Michelle didn't deserve to win, it's like, wait, did Aubrey have the $1 million check in her hands and did Michelle take it from her? Like, Aubrey got robbed. No, she didn't. She never had the $1 million in her hands in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing when you're in the game, too. Players say, and I don't know if they mean it or not, or if it's strategy. For the most part, they don't. It's not strategy. They mean it. They say, like, oh, so-and-so doesn't deserve to be here. What does that even mean? That's the most ridiculous statement you could possibly make in Survivor, or one of them, to say that somebody else doesn't deserve to be there or that somebody else doesn't deserve to win. Because nobody deserves to be there. We were selected by a casting director and Jeff and CBS executives to play a game and a reality TV show. Nobody deserves to be there. It's not a sport competition. It's not a team. And that's one of the things that grinds my gears with the fan base and the people who watch. It's just like, no, there's no, and the players too. There's no such thing as deserve in Survivor. And I wish I could get that across a little bit.
You feel like the Survivor title is maybe more like a sports championship that nobody had it somebody went out and won it.
Somebody either out there and won it or out there and lost it.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be a combination of both. And yeah, I just hate that argument. It really annoys me.
I want to go back to something we touched on earlier when we were talking about could Debbie fix the things that are wrong in her game? I'd love to sort of just get your take on some people that you played with and whether or not, like, what they did that cost them being able to win the game. Could they fix it if they were to play again? How about Sydney? If Sydney was to play again, from what you saw, do you think that she would have success in a future Survivor season?
I could see Sydney winning, but she tends to be hypocritical, and I could see that hurting her. And she doesn't socialize as much. She's really quiet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the same way. So I'm, again, not knocking her for that. Like, she didn't talk to many people, and she's just, like, stoic emotionally, and she doesn't open up. And again, I'm the same way. So I think it would be a challenge for her, but I could see her winning maybe if she had more beta types on the jury or more women on the jury. I know that's sort of sexist to say, but I could see her pulling it off. But she has to open up more, just like me. I would need to open up more, be more vulnerable.
And do you think that she did get that lesson? If that's what she needs to fix, do you feel like that she came away from this season with that?
I think it's unlikely, and I don't even know if that's the correct assessment. she just, I don't think she came across, I don't think, I haven't talked to her, and we're friendly, we're nice, we get along, I would have voted for her to win. But I don't think she thinks she did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I think she thinks she played a great game, and she did, she came in fourth place, but I don't think it was a winning game.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take something from it. I don't know what she thinks that is, though.
And I'm like, simmer down.
Yeah.
You were just setting me up for that.
How dare you? No. Okay. Aubrey. I'm very interested in this.
Well, Aubrey and I have had plenty of discussions about this, actually. Again, she can't, if she's going to put alpha people on the jury, in my opinion, she can't come across as weak and indecisive and wishy-washy. And again, this argument I see people online saying she needs to show her game more. That's not true at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't. Not even the least bit. She showed her game. She showed that she was in control by the results that she was getting. So no, it's just that one situation. If she puts alpha people on the jury, don't come across that way to them. And the other correction is play with people you don't like. Play with people that other people don't like and sit next to them on the jury. I mean, sit next to them in the final three.
From my perspective, I felt like for Aubrey, it came down to a confidence issue.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And to me, from my outside perspective, I feel like she came away from the season with that issue resolved. I feel like that the Aubrey a year following Survivor Go Wrong, I feel like gained that confidence that maybe she didn't have when she was playing that game. So I feel like that she is somebody that I feel like maybe did get what she needed to potentially win in a future season.
I think you're right on paper. You did see her evolve with more confidence, but the tricky thing is it's the mannerisms. It's the tics. It's the whispering. Like, I don't know if she can change that, because she was even doing that in real life. Like when she was here for the finale, she would whisper in my ear or whoever's ear in a big group. And like, that's not a good look for anything.
Right.
Like, you can't do that, socially speaking. And so I don't know if she can correct the little tics in the mannerism. I think you are right, though. She got a ton of confidence from it, and she should, because she's played great.
What about you?
Me? I need to be more vulnerable. I need to be more open. And I need to spend more time with my alliance mate.
Do you feel like you got that out of this season? And do you feel like in a hypothetical situation, if you were playing again, you feel like that you have now what it takes to be a truly dangerous player?
No, as Sydney said, I'm a terrible game player. So let's just go with that. I'm awful at this game. I'm not good at all. Like, I'm the worst. I would be less strategic early on. That was my downfall. Mm-hmm. That was my worst possible play, that I was playing too hard, too fast, and I got myself into a hole. And here's the thing. Michelle told me I was being voted out, yet how poorly I played. So if I just correct that, even just that tiny sliver, I should at least get better than 10th.
Okay, some other people that potentially could be returning at one point in time. What about Ty? Do you see any chance that Ty could fix what was wrong with him in preventing him from winning the game?
No, I don't think so, because Michelle brought it up herself. Like, Ty has talked about, like, he would look for idols again. He would put more on his plate again. And I think Michelle is correct that that's not the best game for Ty. He needs less pressure and less ownership of advantages. And the thing is with Ty, I don't know if he's capable of being a terrible person. Like, I think Ty is above the game. And I think there's a few people who are like that, like Dawn Meehan from Survivor Karamoan. They're such good people that I don't think they can find the balance of the tricky parts of Survivor where you need to get a little dirty. And I think that hurts somebody like Ty, because he takes so much emotionally away from people, and he can't give it back, and he can't really recognize it.
Okay. A couple more. If Michelle played again, do you feel like that she learned enough, that you're saying that the weaknesses and the negatives that you said that cost her your vote in the final three, do you feel like that she got what she needed out of this game and that she could repeat as a winner?
I think actually Michelle could win again, because again, she's so sweet. She's such a likable person.
I think she would be very dangerous a second time around.
Yeah. And like, the only thing is, though, I don't know if she would be more strategic or if she would overplay. part of me thinks that she would still be passive about it. I know she's conscious and aware of the fact that she was that way.
Mm-hmm. But I think that trying to overcorrect that, I think, and I told her this in our interview, is that I felt like that could get her into trouble. Like, don't, you do you, boo-boo, right?
No, wrong.
That's the thing.
You do you, boo-boo.
No? No boo-boo.
No?
No, that is a boo-boo. It's a band, put a band-aid over that. So, I think she still would be passive. Because I think that's her personality.
But she should be.
No, she should be, but and yeah, you're right. I think that would be another winning game.
A possible winner.
Potentially.
I think she would go out there and I think that we and all the pundits would say that she's got a great shot to win.
And she should
again.
Be happy with that.
Yes.
Win $2 million, Sandra? Give me that.
Yeah. You've mentioned Sandra a couple times. I know that I had some questions for you about, yes, you were talking about Sandra on Twitter. Let's table that. Let's just finish this conversation and then we can talk about that next. Now I'm teasing.
Yeah. Okay. What's up with that?
And what about Beast Mode Cowboy with somebody else? So they had a card up on the screen like, oh, that he's recuperating. One day he'd like to play the game again. Do you feel like that from what you saw, he never went to a tribal council? What's his upside in the game?
I think he's the male equivalent to Michelle.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think.
Bro, I know.
No, did she know that? I don't know if she knew that. Well, it's like she said, they made a final two deal.
Yeah, I don't have her dat on my soundboard.
But no, I actually think that they were a great pair for each other and they were the right pair for each other. And that's why I say that. I could see him winning because he's, again, a nice guy. He's a genuine guy. He's a sweetheart. And he's passive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes sense that I could see him winning against somebody who's, you know, not liked by the jury.
Tell me about Sandra. What's your take on Sandra?
Yeah, so the Sandra tweet, that had nothing to do with the winner, first of all. Second of all, and I know there's some, I always tweet out stuff that's going to cause a little bit of a ruckus, but...
Let me see. What did you say on Twitter about Sandra recently?
You'll have to look it up exactly.
Okay.
But I'll start it like this. I went into the game thinking that Sandra was the best player ever. I said, oh, you can't argue with the results. 2-0, are you kidding me? She is the best. She's won twice. She's played twice. And then once I got out there, I was like, oh, I don't think that's true anymore. And I say that because it was apparent that most people play just for 3 more days. And there isn't much forethought. And I got that from everybody who's coming through the jury, because I asked everybody nonchalantly, too. I wasn't like interrogating people. But... I was like, hey, so were you thinking about like who you're putting on the jury and how you were putting them on the jury? And yeah, I would do it, whatever, kindly. And most people said no. Most people said, and they were honest. And they were like, no, I wasn't thinking about that. Like, I was just thinking about 3 more days. And I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what I said about Sandra was, yeah, I didn't think she was the best winner anymore.
And you stand by that?
Oh yeah, I definitely stand by that. I think Kim is probably one of the best players, you know, people who really think it through. Even though I wish she was more entertaining than confessionals, because I know she has it in her personality wise. I think she just held back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some more questions from the listeners and let's bounce around here.
Bouncing around.
Yeah, bouncing around.
Oh, okay. Eddie.
Yeah. All right. This is from David Bloomberg, who wants to know, what specifically was in Michelle's audition video that gave you a different impression of her than she gave you herself?
Well, I think Neil mentioned it actually when he went out, when he was voted out. And he shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. That was snarky and annoying.
When he said that you're a badass bitch.
Yeah, and you're suckling on the teat or something like that. That
she did that in the video?
No. She
like,
said
that's
that.
Very graphic to have in your video.
No, but she did call herself a badass bitch.
Yes.
And like she did come across as like somebody who's willing to play the strategies of the game. And
wait, didn't he say like you're like a puppy suckling?
Yeah,
he did puppy. And then
she didn't say that.
But then she just like her dog just had 9 puppies.
Oh right!
Oh
how
my
convenient.
God! It's all come full circle.
So many full circles.
The
on
prophecy
Rob as a
of Neil.
So that's how she came across, like that she was going to play this strategic game, or at least that's how I perceived it. And I don't think she was a badass bitch, and I don't think Neil was, and I don't think the other jurors think she was, and that's okay.
But you don't think Neil was a badass bitch, or you don't think that Neil thought Michelle was a badass bitch?
Neil's a bitch, but he's not a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think anybody thought that about Michelle. Like, I think that was just like the running joke at that point at Ponderosa.
Okay.
Through everybody.
All right. This is a question from our own Jordan Parhar. Wants to know, were you always ridiculously good looking or were you kind of a dork growing up?
I was born good looking. No. Actually, no. I was a dork growing up. I had terrible acne growing up. So let's throw that out there.
Whoa.
So yeah, I was an ugly duckling going through middle school and high school a little bit. But then I turned into this sexy Superman type of guy.
Yes.
Where all the ladies and all the men love me.
You know, there was during the season, there was like it seemed like you guys were both in on it, sort of like this, jokes of, you and Michelle are dating. But what's your actual story, going on? Like, I'm not saying anything with you guys, but what is your deal? So
we're getting married.
So you were single?
Yeah, single. Yeah, we were both single going into the show, but no, yeah,
I'm talking about you right now. I'm not talking about Michelle.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Single, dating, and then same thing with Michelle. She's single and dating.
Yes.
But no, yeah, we've never dated. Yeah, we've just been joking about that kind of stuff.
Would you date any survivors?
Past survivors?
Anybody, or is it just something that is unappealing to you?
No, I would date past survivors if they were nice and sweet ladies and
neat ladies. Is that what you said?
No, okay. Neat ladies. No. Well, no, neat ladies can work too, but I think that neat lady is married. But no, yeah, I would. They just have to be my type of lady.
Okay. All right. And you haven't been reaching out to anybody?
No, I have not. Well, not really. No, I have to wait for some of them to become single myself.
Okay. Did you get approached by any of them?
Kind of, maybe.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe one or two.
In person or via the social media?
In person.
In person.
Yeah. Okay. And they were friendly. They were nice.
Okay.
And I like them actually. But again, though, I'm a little tricky in the sense where, like, I think getting involved in the survivor community is a little dangerous.
Oh, it's dangerous.
Yeah. Thank you for backing me up
on
that.
You get in trouble.
No.
Yes.
I don't want to get in trouble, but I don't want to get mixed up with,
because these survivors have big mouths.
Yeah, I'm a pretty private person, and I like to keep to myself, even though I went on a reality TV show, which is ass backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But so we'll see what happens if there's any survivor ladies that want to date.
Jason Arik wants to say, when blogging about Kagiyan, could you ever imagine that you would be cast on the next BBB season? Did you take away anything from when you used to write blogs about Kagiyan to play in a Brains versus Beauty versus Bronze season?
That's a funny question because I get it a lot. No, it didn't even cross my mind. It only crossed my mind in casting because they were asking me about it. But once I hit the beach, I totally forgot about it. Like, because you're just not going to think that detailed.
Was there anything of note that you either heard on the podcast or either read on in any of the other blogs that was at all useful when you were on the island?
I mean, I think the most useful thing is just that I've heard on the podcast is just be likable. And I think that's the most simple thing. If you're liked by most people, you're going to go far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, Michelle didn't like me at certain points. Although she loves me outside the game. She does want to marry me. That's not a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, did you read the RHAP April Fool's blog post by Nick Majorano? What were your thoughts on that?
That was great. Yeah, the editor for Rabez's website, she was actually
Christine.
She was actually sending me some drafts and stuff like that. I had no input whatsoever. That was a fun process for me to see like her view and like her take on my writing style.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her writing style too, because that's her personality. So it was great. I was so happy to do that.
Yes. If people didn't catch that, we had posted a April Fool's blog that was written in the style of Nick Majorano. And then that created a lot of confusion for you, correct?
Yeah. People thought I had write. Actually, a couple of the players were like, what did you just write about us? And I was like, no, I didn't write. And they were like, we don't believe you. Like, you definitely are slamming. I was like, no, it's not me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't write it, but it was a good, fun treat for everybody.
Yeah, great job by Christine on that. And very lifelike, because it was power rankings, right?
Yeah, that's how I wrote it previously.
Yes, and you, in the power rankings, that you came in as number one? Is that what
it was? Yes, I was number one, rightfully so. Right. I mean, why would I not come in number one?
Yeah, going on a limb that, I mean, if you would have won the season, I think we would have had a lot of egg on our face for spoiling the season.
I know, but hey, I should always be number one. There's no reason why I shouldn't be.
Okay, then let's take a couple more questions. This is Nick Wilson has a question for you, wants to know.
Nick, great name.
Is it ever good when your balls bang into each other and dance all over the place?
Well, Nick with a lot of movement, his balls dancing all over the place.
Yes.
How dare you ask me such a question on on the podcast? Yeah, you know, they dance a lot, especially when ladies are... No, I'm just kidding. That's a little too graphic. Yeah, good question, Nick.
Nick Wilson. Okay, Michael Mole wants to know, are you really a sociopath or do you just play one on TV?
Whoa, that's jumping pretty far. No, he's just going to judge me like that? He's going to throw that out there? That's a dangerous word. I will come to your house and hurt you. Who's this guy?
Michael Mole.
Oh, Michael, you're going to be a hole. No, you're going to be a mole in the hole in the ground. Anyway, I try to come up with Woody, but no. Yeah, that's just how I came across on the show.
Jeff Probst wants to know, lots of casual fans confuse Rob C. with Boston Rob. Have any fans asked you if you're related to Rob Mariano?
I have seen that online. I am a distant cousin of his, just a couple vowels off.
Nick.
Oh, there you are, Rob.
Smarten up.
Rob? Oh, no.
You're out of the family.
You're going to bury me?
You're an impersonator.
I did say, though, I am the... Marquesas Boston Rob. So get ready.
So you're Marquesas Boston Rob. You'll come back and then
lose. And marry.
Yes, get married.
Who can I marry?
Not Michelle?
Ooh, no, she can't come back. I think that's what
you know, the thing
happen.
About Michelle, she doesn't need to be married, bro.
I don't need to be Kathy,
married.
Bro.
How many times have we played that during this? I'm going to have nightmares if I haven't already have them. I'm going to call Michelle up crying.
Okay, good. Good. This is finally, you guys are talking.
Oh,
finally.
Yeah. We're making breakthroughs here.
Okay. Xavier wants to know, your articles on RGP were amazing. Would you ever do it again sometime?
First of all, he's right. They were amazing. Second of all, no, I would not probably.
You would never.
Well, because like I was even worried that people would read them and notice me and being like for this jokey, whatever, jerk strategic wise. So no, I don't think I would go back to it. I'm going to save all my content for the island on a second chance.
So there's no chance that like some millennial might really just grind your gears and say, you know what, get me the keyboard.
I think that's a dangerous proposition, so I doubt it.
Yes.
I'll keep my opinions to myself like I usually do.
Okay. How old are you? Are you millennial or you're Gen X?
31. I think I would be millennial.
Technically, I feel like that.
I think the cutoff is 34. Technically,
34. So yeah. It's just like okay. Oh, if I was born a month later, I'd be Generation X. Right. But look at me now, right. Millennial. Here I come.
Yeah, you believe the world owes you everything.
Yeah, because I think then my wife is like on the fence of being a millennial, and believe you, she is no millennial.
Oh well, now I'm glad you brought her up, Tricky Nikki. I remember that from the pregame, Tricky Nikki. Who does she think she is? She's Tricky Nikki. Nicole, Tricky Nicole.
She called you Tricky Nikki, yeah. Or she's Tricky Nikki.
No, she called me Tricky Nikki because like you were trying to defend me because you had some context to me. You were like, no, like I think he's a nice guy, and she's like, no, so he's acting in his bio.
Yeah. No, how she gets an
idea. Dare she?
She's like a dog with a bone. She gets an idea in her head, and then good luck trying to get her to change her mind.
Edit it out. Yeah.
All right. Sharon Tharp wants to say, Nick told Josh Wigler in his exit interview, he thinks Michelle saw him as an emotional cloud always around her, trying to steer her in the game. That's why she voted him out. But Michelle said on RHAP that Nick was emotionally detached, kept his distance, and wouldn't talk to her at all. How do you reconcile such perceptions?
Yeah, no, I think she's accurate in the sense that
you're an emotional cloud.
Well, no, I think that is true. I think both are true. I did distance myself emotionally from Michelle, or not emotionally, strategically, and she needed more attention. But the times that I did talk to her and the times that I was with her, I was an emotional cloud. So it was almost like this, again, mm-hmm. It was like this nasty storm that I created. Where when
nasty
I wasn't
Rebecca.
Oh, nasty Rebecca with the lemonade. Is that what it is?
No, different Rebecca. Emotional cloud, not really a nickname that's going to catch fire.
No, yeah, you don't want to be EC. No, definitely not. Speaking of Josh Wigler, I love Josh Wigler.
Yes, everybody does.
Really?
Everybody does.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
He doesn't have any enemies?
Not that I know of.
Well, okay. I'll talk to him about this.
I never talk to anybody that's like, you know who I really hate? Josh Wigler. Yeah. And it's the opposite. It's like, oh, love Josh Wigler.
So he could win Survivor.
Possibly.
Yeah. I don't like him. Now that everybody likes him, I don't like
You're
him.
Out.
Yeah.
You're
I
out.
Yeah. I want to be different. I want to be opposite.
You're out on him. Okay. Edward Morris wants to know, do you think you would have had a better chance if you were on Brains or Brawn?
Yeah, because I would have played opposite. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think I would have had a better chance because I did so crappy.
So you would have been like, hey, I'm on brains. Let me try to be emotional. You were on beauty.
No.
Said, let me try to be brainy.
No, not. Well, yeah, kind of. But no, I would have tried to dumb myself down, I guess, on brains. But no, either way, I would have sucked.
There's no possibility. There's no case.
No, none.
None.
I was awful my first season. So take that.
Okay. All right. You got to start somewhere. Hey.
Yeah. Start on the bottom.
Hey, when we watch the seasons in reverse order, you are going to really just fall off the table.
Oh, no. That's true. Oh, that's terrible, actually. Well, no. Maybe I'll just get voted out first this next time. We'll put them on a roller coaster.
Hold on. Now, if you get out first, does that mean that you won the season?
Oh, if like yeah, when you all right, this is getting too.
When you watch in reverse order, is Sonya the winner of the first Survivor?
let's hope not.
It's down to Sonya and I was going to mention BB. God rest his soul. Then are you going to watch Big Brother 18 on the off chance that you are going to be playing Survivor with a future Big Brother contestant?
That's a great question. Good setup. No. You know, but I do watch it like through the subreddit just because it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think that's a big lesson going. If I go back, if I'm asked back, which it sounds like I might be eventually. How do you like that tease? No, I'm just kidding. But hey, this is not a joke, Rob. This is not all fun and games, bro.
Yes.
Don't you hit bro, a bro. I know.
Bro,
no,
I know.
No. Okay, so. I think that's something to learn, actually, where I misjudge Michelle. I think I won't misjudge the other returning players.
Okay, so after this, you're going home, back on YouTube, scrubbing through all of the application videos. This time, you're not going to misjudge them.
No, yeah, I mean the returning players. Like, I'm not going to judge them on their previous season. I'm going to give them an open slate.
Okay, so if you played with other returning players, you wouldn't just base them on
because
I'll tell you that personally, when I played the second time in the Benjamin Button order of Survivor, I felt like, okay, oh, Boston Rob, he's going to flame out. That's what he did the first time. Okay, Amber, she can't make a move. She's not good. That you know,
lo and behold.
But again, for me as the super fan, I could not see a different path for the people than I saw the first time around. And I think that really was a problem for me where I felt like, okay, well, I'll just do the same. You know, I'm going to have like the, you know, a similar trajectory and everybody else is also going to have a similar trajectory. And this time I'm going to win. That's going to be the only difference. And, you know, I did not see, you know, Rob being able to not flame out like he did in Marquesas when he was Nick Majorana 1.0.
Oh, all right. Yeah, don't bring it back. No, I'm terrible at Survivor. Whatever Sydney said, I'm awful. Like, I'm the worst, and I'm going to stay the worst. Even if I play again, I'm going to be just a mess. Don't do this.
Okay. What's next for you the rest of the summer?
So, yeah, like I said, I'm just partnering, hopefully, with this coaching alliance.
Alliance.
I knew I slipped up by saying the wrong words there. And then, no, just hanging out, working.
Nick, it'll be great to have you finally in the alliance with me.
Oh, you have a coach impression. So that beach, hanging out in Southern California, it's too nice.
Okay.
And then hopefully.
How'd you get set up then? Where are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey.
You're from
East Coast boy.
You're from New Jersey. And mm-hmm. then how did you get set up in South Bay, South Love You Bay?
Yeah, South Love You Bay. We're just going to show up. I love you too. I moved out to Southern California to San Diego about 8 or 9 years ago, and I stayed ever since.
And what did you want to do there?
No. Like I said, I can't act. I'm a terrible actor. Okay. Actually, I secretly, not going to be a secret anymore. But if Jeff ever retires, I want in.
Host the show.
That's a big statement, is it not? Come on.
Wow.
That's the arrogance that shows you. I didn't want to say that publicly, but I will now. Jeff, you've got competition. So if you ever see me again, I'm taking your job when you want to retire.
Yes.
Because I know so much about the game, and I'm obviously charismatic, and I know how to ask questions.
Okay.
But I couldn't be an executive producer. Anyway.
They would have to hire two people to fill that job.
People will get promoted. So,
okay, somebody.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to the other producers because they're going to get promoted. We're going to form a coalition, an alliance, to blindside Jeff to get
this
him.
This is like a Game of Thrones type plan where you're going to take over as the host and then other producers will help you get there because
they get bumped up.
They will get bumped up to the producer titles that Jeff currently holds.
Yeah, well, now my plan is ruined because I just told everybody.
It's okay. We're over 2 hours into
Nobody's listening.
Into a podcast with you. Yeah. Right? Who's still listening?
That actually hurts. No, I'm just kidding. You can't hurt my confidence. Wait, where are we going with that? This summer?
Yes.
Oh, New Jersey? No, I didn't want to be an actor. I want to do personal training. Oh, I got a funny story. I told this to people on the island. I was a Manny for 2 years, part-time. Yeah, yes. So if you need any babysitting, Rob. No, I'm just kidding. So I did that, and that was fun. I could have been the Manny if I was cast on season 25.
You know, I heard that's how Mark Burnett started out.
Yes, it is true.
Was a Manny.
He was a Manny, and then he got a job from that boss doing something, and then, he moved up. So I have plenty
similar
of
similar trajectory.
Oh, yeah. It's either I'm going to become Mark Burnett or Jeff Probst, and that's it. There's no other option.
Or Mark the Chicken.
Oh, Mark, I wish he was dead, Mark the Chicken. No, I'm just
You were the only person. You hated Mark the Chicken.
No, I didn't hate Mark the Chicken. I wanted to eat him. I didn't hate him. Just because you want to eat something doesn't mean you hate it. But speaking of which, Mark, we found the third. Oh, I don't even want to get into it. Anyway, Mark should have died.
That's what you want to go out on?
No. What I want to go out on is how talking about how me. No, I don't know. That's good.
Okay. All right. Well, what's the hashtag, Nick?
Ooh, the hashtag. I knew this would come up, and I didn't even think of it.
You want to go back to our Benjamin Button viewing order? What do you call it?
That's long. Or you mean shorten that up?
Yeah, we got to shorten that up. We got to work. We're going to work on branding that.
Benji Buttons? Benji Mayo? No. Mayo Benji?
Ben Browning Buttons?
Not Ben Browning. Let's not bring him up. Oh, no, but I won't judge him if I'm on a second season with him. I won't. I promise. I won't.
Hey, he was at The Price is Right.
Oh, he was in the fan. Yeah, they didn't ask anybody from 32. I think that was wrong. Again, I think I could be the next Drew Carey as well.
I don't need to be married, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not bringing Michelle into this. Okay, how about the next Jeff Probst? No. Mayo-splaining instead of mansplaining.
That's out. Okay.
M-A-I-O-splaining. M-A-I-O. Not M-A-Y-O.
Is there anything that you want to talk about with that? I mean, I feel like we talked about that in the exit interview, but I do feel like you got a bad rap from that.
Actually, let's close on that. Yeah, I think players who eventually play this game go in with an open mind and know that it's a TV show and like have fun with it. And like people are going to say somewhat.
So you didn't mind that?
No, of course not, because you have to have a bigger perspective of it. And like, you know, I've said this to other people. It's like you can't argue with the internet. You just can't. You have to agree with them and turn the tables against them by agreeing with them, and they eventually might like you. Mm-hmm. That's a big belief of mine as well. And have fun when you go on the show and know that.
And you had fun?
Oh, I had a blast.
Okay.
Too much fun.
Too much fun. Okay.
Obviously, too much fun. And I went out on 10th. Oh, God, I couldn't imagine winning $1 million. That'd be. Plethora of fun.
Would it be gone already? You'd be like smart with it.
Oh no, I'm a little cheap, so it would not be gone.
Okay, it's good. All right.
But I would give a lot of it to my parents. They're sweet people.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're okay. Actually, never mind. I don't want to do that now. You said that.
I was listening to the Big Brother interviews, and I heard a guy saying about like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if I win, because Jeff is like, all right, so what are you going to do with the money if you win? And the guy's like, I'm gonna pay off my parents' mortgage. I'm like, boy, I really hope my kids win a reality show. Right. Like that would really like all the mistakes I've made would just be like glossed over because I had kids that won a reality show.
Yeah, you just want some good offspring to return the favor. But no, my dad always jokes.
I think that's actually gonna be the plan now. Ooh. That I always said like, oh, I want to keep my kids off reality shows. But if it's like if I could just like
coach them.
Like I've got like 18 years.
Oh God,
like I've got two shots also with this.
Yes.
One of them is gonna get on a show and then bring home the money. And then pay a mortgage for me.
Well, yeah, my dad always jokes. He always says, the only reason you're saying that you would give us the money is because you know your mother would give it right back to you. I was like, yeah, kind of.
Okay. What about my son, he did it. Okay. All right. Let's start to wind this down and get out of here. We'd love to have you come back for a recap in the Millennials versus
terrible.
Gen X.
Yes. No, that would be fun to do. And I'll just be nice to everybody, though.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm down for that for real.
All right, that would be very, very fun. Anything else? What you want to give out? What your Twitter handle is? What Nick Majorano?
Nick Majorano.
Okay.
And then that's where you can find me.
Follow Nick on Twitter,
and I'll probably just disappear for a while too.
Oh, wait, really?
Well, you know, I'm like that type of person. I like to stay private. Even though I want a reality show, I like to keep to myself.
Yeah. Up over 6,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, boy, that's a ton. Getting there. I've got a ton of influence now. Those idiots listen to everything I say. Did I just offend all of them?
No, I don't think so. Again,
no one's listening.
Nobody that really hates you, I think, is listening this far into it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They've trailed off.
Yeah. I was just joking.
You're on Snapchat too, but yeah, I feel like you hardly Snapchat.
Again, you know, I'm uncomfortable posting online. Like, I don't even like posting on Twitter, and I do it.
Used to post on Snapchat about it, I got to lose weight for the finale.
Yeah, I tried to use it. I just stink at it. I'm not a social person.
Yeah,
as Michelle said, I'm antisocial. Screw Michelle. She shouldn't have, actually, I take everything back I said. She shouldn't have won. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. And then, all right, so check out Nick on Twitter. We've got a lot more coming up that I think that this is going to be up late in the week. We are going to be continuing our Survivor off-season podcast. We are going to be, the next Survivor podcast we're going to do is that we're going to be ranking all of the six-person tribes in Survivor history. And your beauty tribe will be ranked. Do you have a case for that the beauty tribe should be the greatest six-person tribe of all time?
Well, it's either us or Tandang.
Yes, one or the other.
Without a doubt.
I think we're going to get into, based on the characters, the performance, just a lot of factors overall. Mike Bloom is working on a very complicated system. We'll check in with him early next week. Plus, all of the Big Brother shenanigans. The Big Brother malarkey.
It sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Is right around the corner.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Nick is going to be watching, looking for new tribe mates. check that all out.
Stop doing that narrative.
If you need to get your hands on the Big Brother live feeds, go to robinsonwebsite.com/live feeds. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And Nick, great to see you.
Great to see you too. I'm not looking forward to what the comments have to say. All right.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.